bumps not, oh, bumps not, you negligently molester. Oh, mumps nuts, oh, mumps nuts, kicked out the Clan Negligester. You are a tart, yes, that is true, can't get it hard, that's also true. Oh, mumps nuts, oh, mumps nuts, you negligently molester. Oh, mumps nuts, oh, mumps nuts, you negligently molester. Oh, mumps nuts, oh, mumps nuts, kicked out of Clan Negligester. You are a tart, yes, that is true, can't get it hard, that's also true. Oh, mumps nuts, oh, mumps nuts, you negligently molester.
Greetings, ogling, wigger, and mams and ass clowns across the fruited, nutted Zog plain. In the open air, coast-to-coast nut ass, we call Zog Babylon, the third and the final. But also to the lost and found sheep of the house of Israel, ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye who did hear the call. Now this is episode number 101.5 of the Movement Turd, and tonight is the 22nd of December, 2011. And the title of this show was not known at this time. Okay, folks, this episode number 101.5 of the 22nd of December, 2011 will be known as Russ Walker Introduces Me to Logan Hunter 88 / Shane Davis. And what Russ does here is he sort of tries to pull a fast one on me. He goes ahead and introduces me to Shane Davis or Logan Hunter. And pretty well, I go ahead and find out that Logan believes a number of things, which I do not believe, although we do agree with quite a few things. And pretty well, Shane pretty well have a say. Although I do not agree with removing Paul from the Bible and putting in his place some lost books of the Bible that Shane has bought from James Wickstrom. But Shane does go ahead and tell us quite a bit about James Wickstrom and a few other characters here. He does know that Eli James is a Jew. He suspects that Bill Fink is a Jew as well. So, anyway, that's what the title of this particular show is going to be. So I went ahead and made that break so that when I do figure out the title of it, I can go ahead and put it in. Now I'm waiting for Russ to call. I see someone from northern middle, Tennessee. Why won't I record on TalkShoe? Because I'm an idiot? And the answer of it is that because I am an idiot, I guess, here, number 5. Okay? Alright? You know far more about how to, broadcast, obviously, than what I do. I've only been doing it for not quite 2 years now. And the reason I don't do it is that I don't want to go ahead and give TalkShoe any more reason to go ahead and kick me off. Among other reasons, I go ahead and I record this into MP3 player. Now, as a result of going ahead and being kicked off the TalkShoe, I'm not able to go ahead and just log in, because you go ahead and see, as Pastor Linstead, pretty well I'm not able to go ahead and call in for free. I've got to go ahead and use a regular phone. I've got to go ahead and use a calling card, because I don't want to give the Granby Telephone Company anything to listen to. And so I do things the way I do, for a good reason. Now, whether or not you think it's a good reason or not, well, you're not the one that goes ahead and runs the show. Now, as far as this afternoon or this evening show, there's really nothing much to say in the movement because there's nothing going on. Hello.
Hey.
Hey, Ross, how you doing?
Pretty good. Let this guy from Tennessee come in there, see what the hell he is.
Well, I can't really let him in, and, you know, the reason I can't is I'm waiting. If he wants to go ahead and come in as a guest, he can go ahead and talk. But first, I go ahead and talk to you because your bedtime is usually fairly early, and because it's a tradition to go ahead and talk to you first. There's pretty well absolutely nothing going much on the movement. What was most important is that today I went ahead and renewed this domain name in which I go ahead and store my programs, and one person went ahead and he went ahead and put it back on MediaFire. But what I also did,
let me get off. I'd like to hear what this guy from
the... Well, you don't have no idea if he's going to go ahead and say anything.
Well, give him a chance.
Well, I mean, I'm quite sure to go ahead and give him a chance, but I just soon go ahead and talk to you first. He might
not charming though, Martin.
Well, you're charming enough, Russ. Why don't you just go ahead and we'll cover what you know you're going to say, and then later on, I really don't have much to say either, and the reason is there's nothing much going on in the bowel movement. I'm going ahead and looked at VNNF. Linder is still whining about Christianity. He went ahead and started a new post about Hitler. Over on Sperm Front, essentially you have Clint Downey. She's whining that essentially everybody's become, you know, meaner to her. She believes in the no-devil doctrine. We had Keith on for a short time, but looks like he went ahead and got off. The main thing that's going on today is that today was the last day that PastorLinsted.org was up, so I went ahead and I renewed the domain name, and I bought web hosting, so I'm going to go ahead and get my forum and my PHPBB blog back up, and on my other, you know, web page, I've gone ahead and increased the storage from 10 gigabytes to 150 gigabytes, and essentially I'll be able to go ahead and store all the episodes of the Movement Turd, and maybe some other ones here. Maybe even go ahead and put a small, well, a non quote racist, or essentially a tamer, you know, probably a tamer forum here. So essentially, what I've done is I've done a lot to go ahead and increase the bandwidth. And increase people able to go ahead and listen to this particular show. And there's nothing much going on the movement. I need to go ahead.
This guy Siegfried's a blatant liar, whoever the hell he is.
Well, he's a sort of a clown.
Oh, he's talking about.
Well, no, he doesn't. And folks, I went ahead and looked at what happened last week, and guest number 36. Pretty well, spam the crap out of the, out of the chat room. I mean, he was a total ass clown. So pretty well, what I have in order to go ahead and cut down on spam is if I catch you spamming as a particular guest sign or something like that, I'm going to go ahead and preemptively block you here as punishment for going ahead and spamming me in the first place. And then, as far as guests are concerned, well, what I'll do is that essentially when guests log on, I'll have to go ahead and see who they are in order to go ahead and unmute them. I'm sorry I had to do this here, but essentially, and some people say, well, this is a liar. He's censoring. What I'm trying to do is allow essentially everybody to go ahead and enjoy, you know, the benefits of free speech. And, folks, I've made the point. If you want to go ahead and say, Pope Marty Chomo, act like an ass clown, you can do that.
This guest five is sick, too. I mean, some of these guys are just sick.
Well, I have a bunch of Nimbusters on there, and yes, of course they're sick. Someone was asking if I go ahead and read.
You're hearing false witness, Martin.
Well, yes, they are, but, hey.
And before Yahweh God Almighty can be able to explain themselves because they're telling blatant lies. It's that simple.
Okay, well,
some of them
are Mamzers and Jews. I don't expect anything better from them.
Yeah. Tell you what, Let me hang up. I'll still watch the chat, but I want to hear what this guy, Northern guy, Northern Middle Tennessee, says. I told him you're not going to spam. He has some ideas. Let him present his ideas.
Okay. Oh, you mean, what guest is he anyway? What guest is he? Is he a guest or something like that? Or
no, he's down here. He's blocked. He's Northern Middle
Tennessee. Well, he's muted. The reason he's muted is I'm going to have to go ahead and get back on as Dick Reltney. So I'll go ahead and finish. I'll go ahead and finish this segment. I was just sort of hoping that you'd go ahead and finish, Russ. You know, do you have anything going on?
Yeah, the only thing is it's you know, we're coming up in Christmas, which is a pagan deal.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not much in the news. Everything kind of slows down for this Christmas deal.
Well, the biggest news was that the little North Korean dictator here, old Kim Jong-il, crooked off here, and he has his little fat little, you know, chink, you know, or Korean kid running around. And folks, there's a saying that what starts out as a dictatorship ends up becoming a monarchy, as the dictator tries to go ahead and have his kid have the same power he does. Generally, in the king, you know, in the history of, you know, dynasties, usually the one who goes ahead and gets the kingdom, like Kim Il-sung, is a pretty well bloody man who knows the ways of power. His son knows a little bit less about the, you know, will of power, and usually the grandson turns out to be a total dork here. And like Lossom started, you had David, you had Rehoboam, or Solomon, then you had Rehoboam, and essentially Rehoboam wasn't very successful at all, was he?
You gotta tell you a little bit, babe, the East Orthodox bands are put up. She is really something, let me tell you something.
Who's this?
This guy, East Orthodox bands, or whoever this character is, put up a picture here, DJ picture.
Uh-huh.
It's worth looking at. Let's just put it down.
Well, I'll go ahead and look at it. Is it a cartoon or what?
You'll enjoy it when you see it, let me tell you.
All right. Well, I went ahead and clicked it here. Let's see what it looks like here. And I was asking the cartoonist to go ahead and do a picture of Rabbi Finkelschini. I did for a Christmas carol, "You're a Mean Kike, Rabbi Fink." And then the next one I'll do is probably the 12 days of Kikemas here, to where Eliar gave to me a pisser possum and a persimmon tree. But in any case, I'm waiting for it to go ahead and load.
Let me hang up.
I wanted to go ahead and ask a second question. Is that essentially the Republicans got ambushed by the Democrats and they had to go ahead and pass a Social Security tax cut for the middle class. And essentially they got ambushed by the Democrats pretty thoroughly.
Who knows what kind of a crooked deal took place, in all honesty, you know what I mean?
Well, essentially they were about to go ahead and get their butt whipped here on December 31st. The Democrats went ahead and passed it for 2 months, and the Tea Party Republicans wanted it to go ahead and last for an entire year, but essentially the Democrats said 2 months, and then they left. And while... All right. I guess you must have hit a button or something.
No, something came on all of a sudden. It's okay.
Okay, well, what else it did? Anyway, the Republicans went ahead and backed off here, and they went ahead and passed the, you know, they went ahead and passed the tax cut here. Now that means that more money is not going to be allocated to. Well, I'm waiting for the thing to go ahead and load up here. Could you go ahead and tell me what it was about while I'm waiting for it to go ahead and load up? Okay, I've seen it.
Picture of a good-looking woman with a big set of tits. Let's put it in.
Okay. Well, hey. Yes, I guess she goes ahead and she doesn't have to wait for the milk guy to go ahead and bring along the butter now, does he? Does she? I mean, I'll admit she's cute here. Alrighty here. Has everything most people go in infants like here. But in any case, where was I?
Anyway. We can all make some comments. Let this other guy come on, see what he has to say.
Alrighty, well, I'll go ahead and
unmute him.
I'll go ahead and unmute him here in just a minute. So, we'll go ahead and take a break. And while I go ahead and fiddle and diddle and try to go ahead and let Northern and Middle Tennessee have a say. So, folks, hold on and hail victory.
Bye.
Yes, I admit we We got a Wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid ways you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Wigger problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating crap. I wake up and ride away. Stupid Wiggers come to mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid Wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid Wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Wigger problem. Fill the drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating slop. Wiggers keep remembering how good God used to be. Being caught long ago, our freedom's memory. Yes, I admit we got a Wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, the Wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Wigger problem. Fill the drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating drop. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating slop. Alrighty. Hello.
Is this better?
Yeah, well, it sounds somewhat better.
Okay, now, do you go by Pastor Winston or Martin or Dickie or what am I?
Well, I mean, Pastor, you know, Pastor Winston's good enough here. Although there's some people who don't like me, and you know, they just call me Marty here, and I don't like the name Marty. But essentially, what's on your mind, Middle Tennessee?
Okay, well, what does Russell call you, Marty? Or
well, he calls me Martin, or you know.
Okay, well, Martin. Okay, now I used to go by. I used to have a radio show.
Okay.
I was on before we found out that Hal Turner was a government agent and all that.
Mm-hmm.
He could have been the same genetic makeup as Finkel, William Fink, because a lot of people think that Hal Turner was probably a serpent seed also. Anyway,
mm-hmm.
when I was on the Turner Radio Network, I was on after Bob Jones and Jim Wickstrom a lot.
Okay.
And my radio show was Logan's Hunt, so you can call me Logan.
Oh, okay. Old Russ went ahead and, you know, mentioned you here and pretty well asked you to do this. See, the reason I have this problem is that this is probably the only talk show that's ever been kicked off. It was kicked off because of this little shit-skinned mamzer named Brian Rio, but also Eli James. You know, between Brian Rio and Eli James, they both had to be kicked off.
Eli James is a Jew. Not only
I know he's a Jew.
Not only does he have a hook nose and has kinky hair and swarthy skin, and he's Portuguese, and all your Portugal was mongrelized a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Not only does he have black in him, but he's part black, but he's part Jewish. Okay. William Fink, when I first saw him, I didn't know he was a Jew, but considering everything I know about him, he's probably a Jew. But I knew that Brian Rio was a mongrel. I knew that Eli James was a Jew, and I didn't know about William Fink at first. A lot of people think Hal Turner was a Jew. I talked to his wife on the phone, and she sounded like a New Jersey Jew. But all I know is that Hal Turner kicked me off his radio network right before he got busted by the feds. And the reason he did is I was telling too much truth about going against the government and the communists and how they were communists.
Okay.
I got kicked off of, also, this guy was probably a Jew, too. He got kicked out of the Identity People up in Michigan, and he had a falling out with Jim Wickstrom. And what was his name? Dan Johns.
Well, Dan Johns.
Daniel Johns kicked me off his radio show.
Dan Johns is a Jew as well, and
yeah.
he's given his little Mamzer kid. He calls himself Legal Man 2012. I call him Legal Mamzer 2012. Legal Mamzer 2012 got Crohn's disease.
I know.
So he got pretty well. I was, you know, Eli James has sort of hidden this thing where he talked about 2005, where August Christ, Bradley Jenkins, who was the crackhead buddy of Morris Gouette, and who the heck else was it here? Charles Juba wanted to go ahead and whip Dan John's ass because he thought he was a Jersey, you know, he thought he was a Jew Jersey Jew, and you know, Eli James went ahead and stuck up for him. And pretty well, I've been referencing quite a bit. So Eli James hasn't taken it off his form, but he's gone ahead and sort of hidden it, you know, toward the back to where you have to really look for it. And pretty well, I went ahead and put it up on my form. So you have in this bowel movement, especially of the above ground, you know, Christian identity, you have a bunch of Jews, you have a bunch of Mamzers. As far as Wickstrom's concerned. I don't go ahead and scream and holler about Wickstrom, but it's pretty well known that he ran off with this guy named Kahlstrom or Kahlstedt's wife, and the guy went to go ahead and kill him for running, taking his wife,
yeah.
And
yeah.
He called the FBI, and he called the Michigan State police, and essentially the guy
Keith Kahlstrom, Paul Byrne gave me his phone number, and then I told Keith Kahlstrom and told him, look, forget her, she lets you forget her. Well, the thing is, Keith Kahlstrom tried to get me to go up to Michigan and get her back. I said, I'm not going to help you.
Well, he went ahead and got 7 years in prison. He died after about a year and a half in prison. And I didn't know about Wickstrom after Butler died in 2004. I was going to support Wickstrom, but one of these old guys in the resistance said, you don't want to support Wickstrom. He told me about what Wickstrom had done. He also said that Wickstrom was making pornographic tapes with his new girlfriend, wife, whatever. And
Wickstrom's been, if you don't count Kathy Kahlstrom, Wickstrom has been married legally four times. His fourth wife was Bill White, Cindy White, Bill White's sister. Cindy White was Wickstrom's fourth wife, and she testified that the reason she divorced Jim is that he was getting her to sleep with other men while he videotaped it. Now, that's a pervert. Okay, a lot of people think...
Well, I have people claim to be his own relatives, and they say that he sends them some smut tapes here, and he asked if I wanted to go ahead and look at it. I said, no, do not send me any of that. So, generally, yeah, that's pretty well what's going on, you know, about Wickstrom.
Well, okay, here's the thing. Wickstrom is wrong on some scripture anyway. Wickstrom is all about money. He's never worked a hard day in his life since 78 when he quit his job selling Matco tools or whatever.
Yeah.
He quit his job because he told his second wife, who I'm good friends with, Judy Nips, his second wife, he told her, the only reason I became an identity preacher is so I could make easy money and I wouldn't have to work. Now she wouldn't lie about that, okay?
Well, is her name Judith Nips here? I've got an email from her.
Yeah, Judith Nips, yeah, okay. And here's another thing. Jim Wickstrom is not fit to be a pastor because he's been married four times and he put his wife away without a good reason. Okay, now on top of that, if you don't care for your own children, you're worse than infidel. And Judith Nips told me that not only did he have a daughter with her and leave both of them, but he never paid child support 18 years of her life. And I've met both of them. I met his daughter, and she said, I want to have nothing to do with my father ever.
Well, I understand that. I mean, I don't really talk too much against Wickstrom because at least he is white, but I mean, essentially everybody knows about Wickstrom. So, I don't really have anything to do with Wickstrom. I don't really spend too much time, quote, bashing him or anything like that. I mean, people know about Wickstrom in the movie.
I'm not bashing Wickstrom, but I'm not calling him a Jew. I'll call Pastor Eli James a Jew.
Well, Eli James is a Jew.
I'll call William Finkelstein, for everything I know, I suspect him a Jew. Pastor Pete Peters admitted he was an Asiatic Pueblo Indian. On top of that, some KKK people emailed him, and I saw the email and the response. They said a guy in the KKK emailed Pastor Pete Peters when he was still alive and said, it's come to my attention that not only do you have Asiatic Jew or Asiatic mongrel in you, but that you're part Jewish. And he did not deny it. Okay, at the very least, he's a mongrel, and all these stupid white people in identity were supporting Pete Peters. You know, this is the problem, Linstead.
Yeah.
We have people that want to worship a man and not Yahweh. We have people that want to be part of a big group and play religion or play church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Judeo-Christianity has nothing to do with Yahweh or his laws. Tell me one good thing the Christian churches have ever done for the white race or for Yahweh. Nothing. You know why? They say the laws of Yahweh are done away with, and they're universalist. All the churches are race mixers. Not only do they have Jews in there, but they allow the other races. You know, I've even met some white Christians, okay, that are racist, okay, mm-hmm. but they'll never say it in public among non-white people because they're cowards and they're hypocrites. They go to a church that supports race mixing, but they will secretly, they wouldn't want their own children to race mix, or they don't like race mixing.
That's true.
I've even got white people in my own family that were racist for a long time, but now it's gotten to the point, even those white people that I know that were family or friends that used to be racist, now they're just accepting race mixing. You know why? Because the Jewish media and the Jewish Christian churches, because all the churches are run, because the Rockefellers took over the Council of Churches a long time ago. The last few popes have been Jewish. Billy Graham's a Jew, and all the Freemasons are Jew run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Bob Jones is a Freemason, and all these other identity people are in the Freemasons. They don't want to hear that. I don't give a damn. Okay. I'm not here to be a man pleaser. I'm here to please Yahweh. And you said people get mad at you and don't like you and talk about you. Well, you know what? I've pissed a lot of people off. But ever since I've been two-seed on identity and been telling the truth, I don't care if I piss people off. You see, I don't care if, as long as I'm persecuted for righteousness' sake, for Yahweh and His name's sake and His truth. And this is the problem we have, Martin, okay?
Sure.
Is that I used to go, when I first came into identity, and I met Jim in Tennessee, because he used to come to Sweetwater, Tennessee.
Go all over.
Yeah, I know, but he used to have, at one time, and we found out John Roberts was not only probably a government agent, but mongrel and probably had Jew in him. Okay, John Roberts. For a long time, Jim was having feast days in Michigan and Tennessee in John Roberts' place.
Okay.
But I told Jim a bunch of people he's hanging out with are Jews, and he got pissed. he didn't deny it. He couldn't disprove what I was saying. He said, well, how would you like it if you lost your teeth? And of course, he would stick some skinheads on me. You know what? I don't give a damn, okay? I'm not calling Jim a Jew. I'm not even calling Jim a government agent, even if he was a government agent.
Well, there's a lot of people think he's a government agent. I think he's a government agent.
But you know what? Here's the thing. He probably is, okay? But here's the thing, okay? Even if he's had all this, even if he's been in identity longer than me, uh-huh. and he's got all the works of Swift and Comparé, and he's got resources that I don't have, Jim Wickstrom doesn't have discernment. Okay? For me, stuff the scriptures, and I have understanding that Jim couldn't have. Somebody would have to feed to him because you see what I'm saying. So Jim doesn't have it all. He's not some great pope or pimp or pastor of identity or whatever. Okay, he's just a man that could have done a lot more if he is a government agent or if he. People out, if he's greedy for money or whatever, and I hear him. I'm just telling you, when I tried to help him and tell him that a lot of people he was hanging out with, he wanted to defend it. And you know what? If I came to Mark and you didn't know that Finkelstein was a Jew, or you didn't know that Pete Peters was a mongrel, or you didn't know that Brian Rio was a mongrel.
Well, if you looked at his picture, well, you knew he was a Mamzer.
Yeah,
you know what I mean,
see, you have discernment. You have discernment.
Well, I mean, you don't have to have discernment, but you look at his picture. Sometimes he looks like a nigger. Sometimes he looks like a gook. Sometimes he looks like a beaner. But he never looks like a white man. And essentially, everybody.
Jim Wickstrom would never call Eli James a Jew, but me and you will.
Oh, Wickstrom is sort of hinted about here. He knows where Eli James has come from.
Who gives a shit about Henning? You're either going to stand up and tell the truth without reservation. I mean, he's trying to be politically correct, or he don't want to piss people off, or whatever. I don't buy that. Okay, I don't have respect for that. Okay,
yeah.
Because you know, if you're not going to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, okay, and to hell with playing church and collecting money and trying to make a living off that, you know, I mean, I let me tell you something wrong with the white race too. Okay.
Sure. Hey, can I go ahead and first say that essentially you have not said anything tonight that I disagree with. You haven't said anything I disagree with. In many cases, I've taken the title of pastor because I was running around with Morris Gillette before he got thrown in prison here. And essentially, I'm looking at all the retards running around, and I figured out I couldn't do any worse of a job than what they've done. And this show is about what's going on, what I call the bowel movement. And most of the time, I tell people, you don't need to go ahead and join a church. And, I don't have an actual, quote, ministry. I just have an internet ministry. And pretty well, I had Keith, I have Keith Southworth now pretty well doing my... doing the Bible study. Well, he's doing his Bible study, so he's doing a dual feedline Christian Dandy Bible study. So essentially, this show is about telling people to avoid all these lying retards, all these Mamzers, all these Jews that have gotten into Christian Dandy. As far as Pete Peters is concerned, I had heard quite a few rumors that he had a good deal of red nigger in him. I actually met Pete Peters and, I told him I was dual feed line. He looked upon me like I was a snake, but I promised to behave at one of his Branson things. See, I live in southwest Missouri, about, 80 miles west of Branson over some rather nasty roads. And, I've met Pete Peters, and, he wasn't too crazy about me, but at least we were polite, and I promised not to cause him any trouble. But he would have, he'd have his pet Jew, Charles Weissman. He had his pet Jew, and he'd have his nigger of the month, and essentially he'd be, in 1999, probably thanks to something that got read, he decided he was going to claim he wasn't Christian Dandy anymore. And, you know, I mean, I didn't have any dislike really against Pete Peters, but I didn't agree with him. You know, as far as Wickstrom, I've never met Wickstrom. I think Wickstrom started out well, although you say that he started out to pretty well make money for free. And, you know, but I do know what Wickstrom has become. And most people think that Wickstrom essentially, since he owes his life to not going ahead and getting killed by this guy whose wife he stole, you know, which is enough to go ahead and kick him out, as far as I'm concerned, from being a minister. You know, essentially, he's, you know, I mean, all these people. Now, Frank's just a hardcore stone liar, and here he is bringing this little mamzer, Brian Real, and they're buddies till about 3 months ago. And then he sort of disappeared, Brian Real has. And, Eli James, he's called the FBI and the Secret Service on me and Pastor John Britton, kicked me off a talk show. That's why I can't really record on TalkShoe, because I don't want to go ahead and get this channel. I just go ahead and use this thing as a chat room. So essentially, all these so-called Christian identity, you know, people are not what they claim to be. But then again, most of their followers aren't what they claim to be either. Most of them are what I call the wandering mamzers of Wikipedia TalkShoe Christian identity. And what they are is that they're little dorks or they're little all sorts of critters who want to get into Christian identity who have no business in Christian identity because they're not white. So you see where I'm coming from, Logan, okay?
Sure.
Okay. So anyway, don't tell me. I don't really need to know your name. Around where in Tennessee do you live anyway? Eastern, Central, or Western?
Okay. I live in the middle Tennessee area. You want to say Nashville area.
Okay.
Basically... Let's see, there was another point I was going to bring up. For one thing, for starters, you mentioned John Britton. Is he related to Newman Britton? Is that his son?
That's his nephew.
Okay, well, I know Newman Britton's dead now, but before he died, I got to know him. I never met him, but I talked to him on the phone a few times, and I know that him and... James Wickstrom and August Christ all were buddies, but I don't have anything to do with August or...
Well, August, I went ahead and pretty well made it. August got diabetes and he got one leg chopped off and both his feet, and he earlier this month he got sentenced to supposedly they said he stole close to $193,000 in fraudulent pension, but they went after him for his silliness, and essentially he got 6 months time served, and now I guess trailer imprisonment or something like that. And anyway, a lot of people didn't think much of Christ because he was somewhat of a mooch, and in any case, his I don't wish him bad because he didn't, you know, he didn't bring anybody to prison with him like Gillette did.
Yeah.
You know, I supported, you know, when I first met, you know, Pastor John Britton was in, I think, January of 2005 or December 2004. And essentially, he wanted me to support, you know, as the one who would go ahead and become the next leader of Aryan Nations, he wanted me to support Maurice Gillette. And Gillette is just a drunken crackhead who got kicked out quite a few times by Ray Redfern. And, Morris Gillette didn't, or Pastor Butler didn't want him back. But I did see this Rick Spring, and he was a guy. I met Butler once in May of 2004 at Topeka when Billy Roper was, you know, bringing him around on his last year or so when he was alive. And then I went ahead and met him, but, essentially Pastor John Britton tells me that no, I wouldn't want to go to this Aryan Nations Congress because usually all it was just a bunch of retards. You know, you talk about Hal Turner. I went ahead and got into a sort of alliance with this guy named, Jay Faber, who was, did you know Jay Faber?
I used to listen to him on the radio on the Al Turner Network, so yeah, I know who Jay Faber is. I think I even may have called in one time when he was on the radio. But, yeah, he's, I think he's from New York City or somewhere. But, yeah.
Well, he was originally from New Jersey. He married an Italian woman, Italian Catholic, and rumor had it is that him and Hal Turner were brother-in-laws or something like that. Anyway, I mean, Jay Faber was just a clown or a retard. Pastor John Britton refused to have anything to do with him. And he sort of, he got all jealous of me because I went ahead and spent $180 for some V-Bulletin Forum software. Some Jewess from MTV wanted to go ahead and interview me or something here. He got all mad and he went ahead and kicked me out. He went ahead and kicked me out of partnership with him on the 18th of June. And then, about 6 days later, Hal Turner got arrested by the feds. And then a month later, he admitted that he was a rat. And then, 3 weeks after that, he admitted that he was an agent provocateur and a snitch. He was trying to go ahead and get people in there. And he was going ahead and pulling the same crap with Jeremy Visser. And Jeremy Visser is a Mamser as well. He pretty well had to admit he was a Mamser in order to get out of the stalking charge last December 2nd, 2010. And he's still giving me a hard time. So you have all these, Anyway, old Sci-Fi, he sort of disappeared, but Sci-Fi didn't give a crap for anybody other than himself. He was just a clown, and essentially him and Visser got their little heads together and supposedly kicked me out of Christian Day, and they were going to Eli James to go ahead and do that sort of thing. And, last Halloween, Eli James went ahead and, quote, excommunicated me, and they called in and said that I couldn't go ahead. How dare I say that he was a Jew? How dare I say Brian Rear was a Mamser? I had to wait till they gave me a DNA test, their DNA test here, before I could go ahead and prove anything. But I was a convicted child molester. I was this, I was that. And, essentially they have one rule for themselves and another rule for, anybody who opposes them. And essentially they're just nothing more than liars here. But now Eli James and William Fink, they're at war with each other. And anyway, you have all these tards running around fighting each other, and most of them are just Jews or Mamsers or what have you. So essentially this show started out in February of 2010, because I got tired of Jeremy Visser's thievery. I got tired of Jeremy Visser bringing in these wine Mamsers. I got tired of all this crap. I caught him trying to steal Gillette's trust fund, and I sort of saved Gillette's trust fund, and I sort of regret doing that now. But, you have so many Mamsers, so many Jews, so many Zog Asian provocateurs, and it's gotten to where, well, Pastor John Britton refuses to go ahead and have anything more to do with the above ground Christian Identity Church, because it's all wall-to-wall Mamsers, and this little Brian Real bastard went ahead and interfered in his federal lawsuit, and essentially, he just simply refuses to go ahead and have anything more to do with the above ground Christian Identity Church. So, I mean, that's
I pretty much agree. Yeah, I agree with him on that.
Well, yes, that's pretty well just the way things are. This show is, I guess, somewhat of a gossip show. It's somewhat of a, just pretty well, I just tell people that the three, plans is, first, you get in right with Yahweh. Second, you go ahead and take care of yourself and your family, physically. And then third, you just go ahead and wait for the Great Tribulation, because it's going to be the Great Tribulation that's going to go ahead and destroy Zog Babylon, the third and the final. It's not running around forming a militia. It's not running around, running around in uniform like a retard. It's not going ahead and doing stupid stuff that's going to go ahead and get you put in a cage with niggers. Essentially, your best bet is to go ahead and let the Great Tribulation pretty well destroy Zog Babylon, the third and the final. And that's pretty well what I urge people to do, is pretty well, you know, avoid this bowel movement, avoid all this stuff, because I've seen it. You know, I've been in the bowel movement for 18 years, ever since I helped form two militias in Southwest Missouri in 1993 and 1994. And, folks, I mean, you know, you have at best about 6 months before they bring in, you know, before they bring in cops or something like that here. I seen in 1995, the Saturday after Oklahoma City, they brought in two Missouri Highway Patrolmen. And they didn't really go against the militias so much, although they did disrupt a few militias, but they went against these old common law court geezers. And they were called the Missouri 20, and then eventually seven of them ended up doing, 18 months or 2 years in a Missouri prison for these bogus liens these common law court, you know, idiots did. So, in any case, I've never seen anything, I've never seen the bowel movement produce anything other than trouble.
I agree. Well, see, here's the thing. Okay, now, the problem the white race has, Martin,
mm-hmm.
is this, is that we, okay, until I came into identity, I was taught that I was a Gentile, and that the serpent seed children of Satan were God's chosen people.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that crap, okay? And then, my whole life, until I was taught the identity message about the age of 28 years old,
how old are you now, by the way?
I'm 41.
Okay.
Okay. Until I was 28, I had never even heard that the Jews were Satan's kids. I had never even heard that the pure white race were the true Hebrew Israelites. And so until you know that, you cannot understand the Bible. I used to read the New Testament, and I used to go in to the churches and listen to the crap they said, and I said, look, what you're saying, and I used to go to preachers in these different denominational churches, and I'd say, what you are saying doesn't line up with, okay, they said the Old Testament's done away with, we just go by the New Testament. I would tell them, no, you're not going by the New Testament, because you're teaching, you know, what you're saying doesn't line up. It only says that only Israel shall be saved, and the 144,000, and it only talks about Israel, the tribes of Israel. It doesn't talk about the Gentiles and the other peoples. And I would tell them that, and they would get mad, you know, even though I would quote scripture to them. But I used to think I was a Gentile. I thought, well, hell, I guess all the Gentiles are going to hell since we're not, you know, the God's chosen. See, I didn't know that the white race at that time were the true Hebrew Israelites. But then, see, and I'm going to tell you something else. Before I came into identity, every Jew that I knew that was a Jew, that was a self-admitted Jew, was arrogant, was sneaky, was shifty, was sleazy. I mean, every Jew I ever met, I never did like. Okay?
They were a piece of shit.
And they hated my guts. I mean, I had a lot of Jews would cheat me and lie and stir up crap. And I didn't know what was going on. I did not know about this warfare going on.
Okay, you know, Logan, can we go ahead and let me go ahead and go ahead and stop the recording and start a new break here. And when we come back in 30 seconds, we'll go ahead and discuss how you found Christian identity, okay?
Sure.
All right, folks, well, we'll go ahead and take a quick break. Hail victory. Okay, we're back for the next segment. I got a, I got a RLI, a Real Live Israelite, on the horn. He's going to go ahead and tell us how he found Christian Identity. I'll go ahead for the benefit of those who haven't been on before. I found Christian Identity through Herbert Armstrong's church between, the age actual of about, closer to 11, although it was a few days after, just before my 10th birthday. And, till about the age of 21, I, was a member of Herbert Armstrong's church. I had to go ahead and sit usually 2.5 hours every Sabbath Saturday in a rented hall. And, for about 15 years, I was pretty well in rebellion against what I learned. I did not much appreciate Herbert Armstrong. Didn't appreciate Herbert Armstrong going ahead and ripping most people off of their money. My dad got disfellowshipped, three times, and the third time was final. He went ahead and went with Garter Ted Armstrong, who had his own problems. But I did learn the Israel Identity message through the British Israelitism as practiced by Herbert Armstrong. And then around when I started getting back into Christian Identity, I started out, I guess, as a one seed liner, but I figured out the dual seed line made far more sense scientifically and every other way. And I've been pretty well a dual seed liner since 1996 to 1997. And, any case, that's how I got into, Israel Identity. But we see that, Mr. Logan here, he came in as pretty well a first generation, believer in Christian Israel. So I'm going to go ahead and let him tell us how he found, Christian Identity. Okay, Logan, go ahead.
Okay, I'm back, and here's the thing. A lot of older people that are older than me in the identity belief, Israelites, white people that are older than me, they, like yourself, they came into British Israelism with Herbert Armstrong, and then they graduated from that little baby Mickey Mouse Worldwide Church of God. I mean, he had some truth, but he wanted to teach that the Jews were the tribe,
tribe of Judah. I know. I was there.
Okay. He wanted to teach that they were our cousins. And then he wanted to bash the white Germans as being
the Assyrians.
Something. And let me tell you, it's just the exact opposite. The Jews are the Mongols, and the pure white Germans were Israelites. So see, it's because Armstrong himself was a Jew lover, and he might have even been a Mamzer himself. Here's the thing, okay? But the Worldwide Church of God, before I started becoming the age to start, reading the Bible or go to church or listen, they stopped teaching British Israelism before my time.
1987,
1988. Yeah, okay. Well, so I had to basically... I stopped going to the Christian churches because I knew Barton. I went to all of them. They were all phony, and they were all about money, and they were not telling the truth. They were all about politics and just phoniness. Mm-hmm. So that's my heart knew that all the churches, every one of them, none of them were of Yahweh. Even though I didn't know the name Yahweh back then, I thought Jesus was the name. Okay, so. It wasn't until I started listening to preachers on the radio. I would listen to AM radio or any radio I could get. And you are, the internet and radio stations like shortwave and internet radio is about the only place left to find any truth. And luckily, I heard one guy who was not identity, but he was in the name Yahweh. It was a couple of guys. And they introduced me to a guy. They were from Georgia. They introduced me to a guy in East Tennessee by the name of Buddy Johnson. Now, Buddy Johnson...
Pastor Buddy.
Yeah, Pastor Buddy's the first person that introduced me to identity. But Pastor Buddy has problems, too, because me and Russell are trying to educate him on some things. And he's like Jim Wickstrom. He's stuck in his own little churchianity thing. But... But I will have to give him, see, here's the thing. Buddy knows the identity message. He may not know some other things, or he may not, he's stuck in his little calendar and all that, but here's the big, you know, here's the thing. Okay. British Israelism was totally, you know, that's dangerous. Because whenever you say the Jews and the white race together are Israel, you have a big problem.
Well, where they come up, where they come up with sort of, where they come up with this, where they came up with this stuff is,
I think British Israelism was started in Ireland or England, and then
it started in England, but you had, soon after it got started, you had this character called David Hines, and he was a Jew, and essentially he's the one that came up with Assyria. Is the Assyria is the,
and all Jews are liars, just like Scofield was a. Now let me tell you something else too. The modern Bibles all have problems. And let me tell you something, okay? Unless you read, the Catholic Church took out 99 books. Comparé, he was wrong on a few things, but he said that the Catholic Church took out 99 lost books. The Apocrypha is 14 books found in the Catholic Bible that's not found in the Protestant Bibles. But on top of that, 14, you have, there's 99 total that are called the lost books. You can find them sometimes for free posted on the internet. I've read quite a few of them. I bought a few from Jim Wickstrom, and here's the thing. Jim Wickstrom don't even read the stuff he sells. I've read all the stuff I bought from Jim, and I've quoted it back to him, and he don't even read it. Okay, that's what I'm saying. Just because Jim sells all this stuff doesn't mean that he has a great brain to process it and that he's put it all together and everything. It takes a lot of dedication. But I'm going to tell you something, Martin Lindstedt.
Yeah.
Unless you have discernment, the modern translations have been tampered with. We know John 3:16 was not originally in the Bible. Yahweh said he hates the world. He said, if you love the world, the love of the Father's not in you. You can't serve two masters. You can't serve Yahweh and the Father. You can't serve Yahweh and Mammon or the money or the beast system or the worldly system. You can't serve both. Otherwise, you're lukewarm and you're sitting on the fence. You're either going to be hot for Yahweh or you're going to be cold on the Satan side. It's either one or the other. But you can't be lukewarm.
Okay.
And that's the so that's the thing. Until you have discernment and you piece together where, like, for one thing, they took the name of Yahweh out of the Old Testament about 6,000 places, and they put Lord and God. And everywhere it says Jesus in the New Testament, it should be Yahweh. There's only one name, Yahweh. Now, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are all the same being. A lot of people like Joseph Jeffers, who was a Jew, Joseph Jeffers has gotten everybody to totally bash, teach all this Da Vinci Code crap, and that Yahshua was just the son of Yahweh, and that he was married to Mary Magdalene and all that.
Oh, okay, alright.
Yahshua was Yahweh in a flesh body. He told Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You know, I mean, there's so much evidence that all this Trinity crap was started by the Catholic Church. Okay.
Yeah, it was.
Martin, let me ask something, Martin.
Sure.
Let me ask you, are you a son? Sure you are. If you have sisters or brothers, are you a brother? Sure you are.
Mm-hmm.
Are you married? Are you a husband? Sure you are.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a father? You have children? Sure you are. You've got a lot of titles there, just like Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But there's only one Martin Lindstedt. Do you understand? There's only one Yahweh. Okay, does that
make
sense?
Well, I believe there's, you know, God the Father, and I believe there's Jesus the Son. I believe they're two different beings.
Okay.
I don't believe in this Trinity crap. You see, I live on the edge of the Ozarks, and essentially this is the biggest concentration of Christian identity. But what you have is the remnants. What happens is that Herbert Armstrong gave his Worldwide Church of God to these Russian Jews named Tkach, and they went ahead and, Tkach, the older Jew bureaucrat, gave it to his kid, and the kid went ahead and looted the thing off pretty much, and you got, last I heard, you have over 1,000 splinter groups of Armstrongism, and every single little, what I call Herbert's Hollow Men, has tried to go ahead and make himself a little god, in and of his own right, because that's pretty well what they were taught to do. And then you also have these other people who weren't with the Armstrongs, but who were with either, British Israel or dual seed line or whatever, and you'll have sacred name people. You'll have all sorts of, characters, and, it's just like I've tried to tell Finkel, Shimi, and Eli James. I said, I have more people living within 30 miles of me who are Christian identity than you probably have in the entire state of Jew York or Jew Jersey. And what you end up learning is that if you want to go ahead and get along with these people, you pretty well tolerate their little notions and their little, whatever. And essentially, I don't go ahead and really give them a hard time unless I see them doing something stupid that's going to get people sent to prison unnecessarily. Unless they're lying Jews or mamzers like Eli James and Brian Rio and Finkel Sheeney and all that. I mean, I've learned, and second of all, I've learned, see, I was, 10 or 11. My dad, he got kicked out the first time for sending me to a hospital, by this very minister who essentially killed his own daughter by treating her little burst appendix with an anointing cloth. And my dad, he nearly got disfellowshipped for telling people that $12 worth of penicillin will save this father and wage earner. And eventually ended up getting kicked off because he went with Garner Ted Armstrong. Garner Ted Armstrong has own problems as well. And, folks, I used to see quite a bit, that the people of Wesley Swift's church, the Britons and the rest, didn't see. I used to see quite a bit of what I call pastoral abuse by these little hollow men of Herbert's, No, as a result, I don't believe in going ahead and telling people they're going to go ahead and die. They're going to go ahead because, essentially you have a personal relationship with Yahweh and with Jesus Christ that some mere man who, just because you disagree with them, can't go ahead and sever you. I mean, this man is not your intermediary. You talk directly to Yahweh and you talk directly to Jesus Christ.
Well, okay. Now, here's the thing. First of all, if you're going to delineate and say that there's a father and son, there's two different names, please use Yahshua, because Jesus is not a transliteration from the Hebrew. Yahshua would be the pronunciation or title of the Messiah. And I hope that we can agree on that. Jesus was put in there, comes from Hyenas, the Greek god of healing, and Zeus, and that was put in there when Constantine and the Roman Empire took over some elements of the remnant of the original remnant of the following that Yahshua had when he was on the earth that went to Glastonbury. The original congregation died out in Glastonbury, England, and then the Catholic Church comes along 100 years later or so, and they say, we're the first church. No, they're not. But Constantine, basically Christianity came from the Roman Empire in Constantine, and it was a little bit of the scriptures with a bunch of paganism.
Well, that's what the Roman Catholic Church is. It's pretty wild.
But that's where all of Christianity comes from, because they're all daughters of a whore.
Well, that's what the Protestant churches are. It's just that usually within Christian identity, they pretty well view that the Roman system was set up by Simon Magus, who was the world's first pope, who was essentially Roman, you know, the Roman Catholic Church's first pope. And essentially, the Roman Catholic Church is just nothing more than the Sibylle Church, the Nimrod Church, the Cain Church, and pretty well everyone I see in Christian identity view them as being quite different than the Roman, you know, they go ahead and include the Greek Orthodox, but not so much. They usually include the Roman Catholic Church as being, Babylon, mystery religion, mother of whores, and the...
Okay, but here's the thing. All the other Christian churches are daughters of the whore.
Well, yeah, the Protestant pastors used to go ahead and scream about mother of whores.
Okay. The Greek Orthodox is not identity. They're not identity. The Greek Orthodox is universalist. They're all controlled by Satan and his kids. Okay,
that's true.
If you're not 100% pure white and you are not teaching identity message, and you're not in the name of Yahweh, and you're not keeping his laws, because they're not done away with, his commandments are not done away with, and let me tell you something, Pastor Winston.
Sure.
Okay? This ain't just because I wanted to make this up. I read all the lost books when Adam and Eve were in the Cave of Treasures, and when Yahweh took Adam aside, and he took him up into... he took him up into the heavens, and because it says in the scriptures that Yahweh knew us in the heavens before we came in a flesh body. Okay, now let me tell you. So I'm a pure white soul, and Yahweh knew me thousands of years ago before I came in this flesh body. He told Adam. He showed him. He said, "I'm going to come in 5.5 days and redeem you." Do you know that when Yahshua died, the Messiah died, he died on Adam's grave? Do you know Noah's Ark had Adam's skeleton, and that Noah and his three sons were on one side of Adam's body, and Noah's wife and the other three wives of the three sons were on the other side, and they couldn't touch, the husbands couldn't touch the wives for 40 days and 40 nights? Let alone have intercourse, okay? And then do you know that it was Shem's grandson, I think, it was Melchizedek or one of them that took the body of Adam out of Noah's Ark and then buried it wherever Yahweh told him. It said the earth swallowed Adam's body. And he told Adam, when Adam was still alive in the Cave of Treasures, he told him, "I'm going to come in 5.5 days. A day is 1,000 years, 5,500 years from the time Adam and Eve were expelled from the garden. Yahshua died on, and his blood touched Adam's skeleton. And let me tell you something else. When he told him about the 5.5 days in the Cave of Treasures, he told Adam, okay, he took him up into the heavens and showed him a vision, just like John the Revelator in Revelations had a vision up in the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what he saw? He saw 12 pillars in heaven. Okay? And Adam said, "What are those 12 pillars, Yahweh?" And he said, "Those are the 12 apostles that I've already chosen."
Okay.
Now, I'm going to tell you something here.
Sure.
Okay? There's only 12 apostles. There's not 13, 14, 15. There was about 200 disciples. There was only 535 total followers of Yahshua the whole 33 years that he walked to the earth. That was faithful. That was the only identity people living. All the other white people denied Yahweh. Okay, of those 535, only 12 men were apostles, and those apostles were picked. Their spirits, their souls, 5,500 years or longer, Yahweh had them in his mind who he was going to pick. So when he picked Judas Iscariot, he knew he was a Jew. He knew he was an apostle. Do you know why he picked him? He knew Matthias was number 12 all along. If Yahshua didn't want to teach the white race a lesson, he would have picked Matthias, and he would never have picked Judas Iscariot.
Okay.
On top of allowing Judas Iscariot to sell him for 30 pieces, which he didn't need,
Do you want to know why Yeshua picked Judas Iscariot and not Matthias to begin with? Because he knew Matthias was the number 12 because he created, he set this up over 5,500 years in advance. Okay, he wanted to teach not only those 12 apostles like Peter, and some of them were kind of dumb in the head and they couldn't get it the first or second time, okay? He wanted to teach the white race a lesson, even today.
Okay. Well,
if Yahweh God himself cannot convert a damn Jew, he told them they're all going to hell in John 8:44. He said they cannot escape the damnation of hell. He said they're all liars, thieves, and murderers. And all the white people out here, they don't want to be white separatists, and they want a race mix, and they want to say that God loves everybody, and that Yeshua, the Messiah, died for everybody, which John 3:16 was not in the original scriptures, and the Farrar Fenton and some of the other scriptures will tell you that, okay?
Okay.
But he wanted to teach the white race and all the apostles and the other disciples a lesson. Okay, that if Yahweh himself cannot convert, okay, Judas. And see, Judas would have been one of the good Jews, you know, just like some of the...
Well, I don't think there's any such thing as a good Jew, but...
No, there is not a good Jew, but some of them pretend to be good. James, Eli James pretends to be good.
Well, that's why it's and more dangerous than Finkelstein.
Yeah, see, there's a lot of Jews that pretend to be good, but they're still snakes. And Yahweh himself could not convert Judas Iscariot. And the white race has no business. He said, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And what are the white Christians doing, Martin Lindstedt? They're going to Africa and China, and they're going to the brown-skinned mongrels in Mexico and South America, and they're going to India and every other God-forsaken and they're sending all their money to the Russian Jews to send them back to Israel. They're sending the Jews all this money, okay? Yahweh put a warfare between the tares and the wheat, the goats and the sheep. Tares look like wheat when they're young. Goats, you know, I went to vet school and dropped out. I went to vet school in Knoxville, Tennessee and dropped out, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I can tell you, when goats are real small, they look like sheep. They look like they could pass for brothers, sisters, you know, and the same, okay? And then when they get, you know, they get older, but see, goats are real ugly, okay? And they're real nasty. They eat any kind of nasty trash, and sheep are real clean, and you know, and see, if you look at a Jew, let me tell you something about Jews,
okay? Let me just go ahead and just make a quick break here. Some of what you've been saying, especially about, I guess I didn't read that particular lost book of the Bible. Where did you get that? Where did you go ahead and get about, you know, on the ark, where they had Adam Skelton from?
Okay.
So I might go look at myself.
Okay. I'm gonna make a point here, okay?
Okay.
And this is something that I'm gonna challenge you.
Okay.
To prove me and Russell wrong on a point. Okay. I confronted Buddy Johnson and Paul Burnham, and they both couldn't prove me wrong. They got mad. Jim Wickstrom, he can't even accept the fact that there's mongrels and Jews at his feast days, so he's not gonna. But let me tell you something, okay? I'm going to challenge you. You don't get mad at me and Russell and call, just.
I don't get really mad at anybody.
You prove me from Scripture, okay? Because in the lost books, Yahweh said, I chose 12 apostles 5,500 years ago. Not 13, not 14.
Okay.
And we know Yahweh chose 11 apostles. We don't count Judas because he was a double. We know Matthias was always number 12. That's
okay.
The 12. Okay, Paul comes along, and he claims to be an apostle.
Okay.
But he can't be because there's only 12. Now, before you call me a Paul basher, okay?
Oh, I don't usually, you know, that's something that Finkelstein dreamed up.
No, before you call me a Paul basher, the
before you call me.
I don't think I'm going to call you a Paul Basher anyway.
Let me tell you something, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something, okay? When I first started reading Paul and all the New Testament together, I had a problem. I knew Yahweh's not double-minded. I knew Yahweh doesn't contradict himself. Now, when you take the books of Paul out of the Scripture, and you take John 3:16 out of the Scripture, and you take anything else in there that doesn't, that didn't come from Yahweh,
mm-hmm.
and you put all the lost books back in there, and you put the name of Yahweh in there, then you got Yahweh's Word. Let me tell you some things. Paul cannot be an apostle because Yahweh only picked 12, and he told Adam there was only 12. There's only 12 gates in Revelations 21. There's 12 gates. There's only 12 tribes of Israel and one gate for each tribe. Now, there's only 12 gates in heaven. So where does Paul fit in? Okay, because my bias is that Peter was over the tribe of Judah. That's the gate he's over. And whatever, you know, supposedly... Judas Iscariot, if he was pretending to be over, okay, then Matthias was always the apostle.
Well, Judas was a Jew who was sent to go ahead and betray Jesus Christ.
Yahweh picked him intentionally to prove him wrong, but Matthias was always apostle. Yahweh picked him 5,500 years. Paul cannot be one of the 12 apostles. There's only 12 gates. There's only 12 pillars in heaven. So... where's Paul? He can't be a pillar. He can't be a gate. Where is he?
I don't know. I never thought of it that way. So I'm not...
Okay. Here's some other things. Paul says the laws are done away with. Paul says we're all one body, one blood. That ain't what Yahweh said. Yahweh said to only go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But Paul said that even the Gentiles can be grafted in. Paul said that we're all one body, one blood. Paul said don't worry about genealogy. Don't worry about genealogy. You can race mix. It don't matter if you marry a white-looking woman, but she's got a little bit of Jew or Asian. Let me tell you something. I got married, and everybody thought she was white. Everybody thought her family was white. She told me she was pure white, mm-hmm. okay? She kept on pushing for kids. And then I found out about DNA testing, okay?
Okay.
I didn't know about it until after I'd gotten married, okay?
Uh-huh.
I found out about DNA testing. And lo and behold, she came back 5% Negro, 1% Asiatic, and she had Jew in her. That she pretended she didn't know anything about that. And she may not have, because, you know, there's a lot of Jews that don't know that they are Jews, okay?
Okay.
But here's the thing. Yahweh said, not even to the 10th generation, no, forever, a bastard shall never inherit the congregation of Yahweh, shall never enter. Bastard shall never be part of Yahweh's all-white congregation. And he told the Jews, see, I'm pure white. I came from the heavens. I came from Orion is where the white heaven is.
Okay?
And I was pre-created in a spirit body, and I came from here.
I don't altogether, I mean... So you believe that before we were born, we were a spirit being somewhere, you know?
Wait a minute. Yahweh said, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. Yahweh said that in the New Testament. Are you denying that?
Well, I'm, you know, Keith Southworth believes the same thing. I don't know. I mean, it's somewhat of a...
Wait a minute. I'm talking about... the Old Testament, I'm talking about the true New Testament, not the bull crap that's been put in there. I'm talking about the red letters of Yahshua. Now, I don't give a damn about Paul, the false apostle Paul, okay? He said the laws are done away with. He said race doesn't matter that we can intermarry. Paul said don't even touch women. Paul teaches all this homosexual crap, okay? Why do you think we have all this effeminate men out here? Why do you think we have all this white people that are yuppies, they don't want to get married, they don't want to have kids, they want to race mix, they want to universalize. Why don't you go read all that shit that the false apostle Paul shovels, excuse my language, manure, how about manure? You know, if you grow up on a farm, yeah, I've shown a lot of manure in my life, okay?
Okay.
Let me tell you something. Okay, I'm going to tell you something, okay?
Sure.
I'm a man of Yahweh.
All right.
I'm a son of Yahweh. I know there's only 12 apostles. I know Matthias was number 12. I know Judas Iscariot is a Jew devil, and Yahweh picked him for a reason.
Okay.
Now, Paul, also, the false apostle Paul, he didn't walk with Yeshua. He didn't walk with, Yeshua didn't handpick him like he did the other 11, and then ultimately Matthias, okay? Now, Paul says he's an apostle, but Yeshua never said he was, okay? Now, let me tell you something.
Okay.
The red letters say, red letters of the Messiah, they say he told them that if you want eternal life, he didn't say go get baptized. He said keep my commandments. Now, what does Paul say? He says, the commandments have been away with, we're just under grace.
Okay. All right. Hey, Logan, this one phone is sort of beeping. Can I go ahead and take a break for about 30 seconds real quick? Okay?
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
Hold on. Let me see. Okay, folks, I'm going to go ahead and take a quick break and change, you know, house phones. Hail Victory.
My papa's son wandering out of smoking gun. Now some of you would live through me and lock me up and throw away the key. Or just find a place to hide away and hope that I'll just go away, huh? But I feel alright. I feel alright tonight. Alright, I feel alright tonight. And I bring you precious contraband and ancient tales from distant lands. Conquerors and concubines and conjurers from darker times. A betrayal and conspiracy, sacrilege and heresy. Alright, I feel alright tonight. I feel alright. I feel alright tonight. Dream. I ask you questions, tell you lies, criticize and sympathize. Yeah, but be careful what you wish for, cause I've been to hell and now I'm back again. I feel alright. Yeah, I feel alright tonight. Yeah, I feel alright.
Well, usually among standard, you know, dual seed line Christianity, is that the belief that these nations, you know, these Gentile nations, the word Gentile just meant nations, is what it meant here. It comes from the Latin word gens, or something like that.
I understand all that, but you can't, no. The Apostle Paul said one body, one blood, and he didn't specifically teach to only go to the white people. He
reprimanded Peter and said, don't call any vessel unclean. And he wasn't talking about pork and clean meat. He was talking about people, okay? And I'm going to tell you something. Yeshua said, if you want eternal life, he said, if you're guilty of breaking one, the least of the commandments, the least of the 613 commandments of Yahweh, then you're going to barely get into heaven. You're going to be called the least in heaven. Well, if you say all the laws are done away with, which is what Paul said, which is what all the Christian churches say, all the white Christians say the laws are done away with, we're just under grace. They're not even going to be in heaven. Okay? And that's Yahweh's words. That's not my words, Martin.
Okay. All right. The thing about it is, I'm not going to call you a Paul basher, because that's something the Finkelshini uses any chance he gets here, but I'm really not prepared to go ahead and jettison 45% of the New Testament. I do believe that Paul has his place, although Paul has been, you know, abused. I do believe that Paul does have his place in the New Testament. I do believe he is one of the apostles. As far as just 12 apostles or just Matthias, I don't know. This is probably the first time I've ever heard of that here.
Have you read any of Locke's books? Have you read any?
I haven't read. Obviously, I haven't read the one that you went ahead and talked about.
I'm talking about some of the bigger lost books that have a lot of meat in it. Have you read the book of Adam and Eve? Have you read the Cave of Treasures? Have you read any of those?
I haven't read the Cave of Treasures.
The Cave of Treasures has this in it.
Okay.
And also, hey, not only does Yahweh say there's only 12 apostles for all time, But there was also two posts that were separate from the 12 apostles. They were joined together with a leather strap. The two witnesses, okay? It talks about two witnesses, and one of them is Enoch, and the other one's John the Baptist. Okay? And those were two prophets. As a matter of fact, John the Baptist was the last prophet. Because Yahweh himself said there's no prophet since John the Baptist. Okay?
Okay.
All the prophecies done been said. Okay?
Alright.
That's in the scripture too. Okay? So what I'm getting at is, if you haven't read the lost books, then you haven't read. See, I used to get on to Jim Wickstrom and I'd say, hey, you're telling me all this stuff, and I said, that's not in the Bible translation I have. Are you making this up? He said, no, it's in the lost books. And I said, well, do you have them? He said, yeah. I said, well, make some copies and sell them to me, and he did.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I gave him an idea, and he sold a bunch to a bunch of people. But the thing is this, okay, you haven't read the lost books, but even without reading the lost books, okay, Yahweh said, if you want eternal life, keep my laws. Paul said the laws are done away with. There's no way you can defend anything Paul said, okay? Not without trashing Yahweh. So you're telling me I'm trashing 40% of the New Testament. Well, the word Bible is a Catholic word, means book, Biblia.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Now, once you take away, Yahweh said in Revelation, whoever adds to or takes away from my word, I'm going to curse take their part out of
the book of life.
Yeah, the book of life, eternity. Well, they took out a lot of his word by taking out the lost books, and they added some stuff too. Obviously, you have no problem saying that John 3:16 has been added. Well, why do you have a problem even contemplating that at the very least some of Paul's writings have been adulterated? But on top of that, Paul claims to be an apostle. Yahweh never said he was an apostle. Only Paul said that.
Well, what you are, the question comes in is, what portions of the Bible do you recognize as belonging in the Bible? You're saying that Paul does not belong in the Bible. but you're saying that these lost books
do belong in there. The majority, basically all the Old Testament, once you put the name of Yahweh back in there, and basically, if you have the red letters in the New Testament, you don't even, I mean, the red letters are Yahweh itself. Okay, even Peter was fallible. He denied the crow three times, okay? He was fallible. Now, Peter's the only one of the apostles that took up for Paul, because he got hoodwinked and he got brainwashed into believing that crap. None of the other apostles took up for Paul. As a matter of fact, Paul got into arguments with a bunch of them.
Okay, but
so are you going to tell, as a matter of fact, Paul, isn't it just like a Jew or somebody not of Yahweh to always brag on himself? Paul claimed to be the greatest apostle. Yahweh never said that. As a matter of fact, if any apostles were going to be claimed, John was probably called the beloved, okay, and then Peter was given a high position because he was over the tribe of Judah. But Paul claims to be the greatest apostle. Yahweh never gave him that designation. He bragged on himself. In fact, and Paul was always saying that he endured more and he went through more and blah, blah, blah. I mean, he was always talking about himself, but Yahweh never said any of that about Paul. Yahweh never picked him, okay? And Paul... told them not to be not to care about genealogy. Genealogy is race. Genealogy is keeping yourself pure and your marriage and your offspring pure. And he told them, don't worry about genealogy. That doesn't matter. Well, Yeshua traced his lineage all the way from Adam through King David to the modern to his birth to show that yes, he told Adam that he was going to redeem him. And he promised a lot of things to King David too, because King Saul screwed up. King Saul was not picked by Yahweh, and King Saul was King Saul had the opportunity to destroy all the Jews in one place, and he did. He kept a bunch of the women for concubines and a bunch of the men for slaves, because King Saul disobeyed Yahweh, and we're being cursed for that. King Saul also hated King David. He tried to murder him a bunch of times.
Okay.
King Saul broke his word to David because he promised his oldest daughter, and he went into battle and risked his life, and then he married his oldest daughter to another man, and then he promised his youngest daughter. And then after he married Micah and King David were married, then King Saul stole Micah back and married her to another man. Okay, so King Saul was bad news, but he ruined it for all of us because he didn't kill all the damn Jews in the seed of Cain a long time ago. Okay, and then King David inherited a mongrelized bastard. It wasn't a pure white kingdom because it had Jews in it, because King Saul put them in the middle. Like Uriah the Hittite was a damn Jew. Okay, King David's sin was not because he sent Uriah the Hittite in the battle; it's because he had premarital sex. Okay.
Okay.
But King David did stop Uriah from adulterating the blood of Bathsheba. Bathsheba was a pure white woman. You understand what I'm saying? So all these people out there are bashing King David, they don't know what the hell they're talking about, okay? They don't even know. But see, let's get back to Paul. Paul was always talking about genealogy and saying, don't worry about genealogy. We're all one body, one blood. Well, you know, that's just, I mean, what do the modern Jews in the churches say? That black, yellow, white, we're all the same under the skin. And then they want to tell you that the flood of Noah was worldwide, when you and I know the flood of Noah was not worldwide. They want to tell you that Noah had three sons, one black, one white, and one yellow.
Okay.
I asked him that. I said, okay, what color was Noah? Oh, it don't matter. Bullshit. You can't have a white husband and a white
I agree with you, Logan. I see that Keith is trying to get on the call. The problem of it is he's on, you know, the cell phone, and generally I can't go ahead and do it. Keith has his own Bible, you know, study group here. I don't know if I really agree with you altogether, Logan. Keith, can you hear me? Yeah, I can hear you, but essentially, going through the cell phone, I really can't pick you up for that here. Can I go ahead and give Logan, the thing, your Bible study on Tuesday, and that way he can go ahead and call in. Okay.
Yeah, I'll call in. See, here's my problem, okay? I've had a radio show. I've kept feast days with a lot of identity people. But if I know something's not being taught right, I can't break bread. And I'm not going to hate the people, okay? But I'm not... Yahweh said all liars are going to get eternal. They're going to go to the lake of fire. Now... our first commitment, Martin, is to fear Yahweh and keep His commandments, to keep ourselves pure, to segregate, and to only be around white people that are of like mind. I'm not about white power. I'm not about the whole white race as one big happy family, okay? Because all the white people that don't love Yahweh and don't want to keep His commandments, and they want to be like the Jews, I'm going to shake the dust off my feet, and I'm not going to fellowship with those white people, okay? You know why? Because...
Well, Keith, why don't I go ahead and, essentially, go ahead and let Logan have a say, because I can't really record you. This thing is not being recorded right now, and let you go ahead and call in on the house phone, after Logan's had his say, okay? That'd probably be the best way to work it, Keith, okay?
And you can, Pastor Winston, if you got caller ID, you got my phone number?
No, I don't really want to go ahead while it's being recorded. I don't want a whole bunch of nuts or anything like that giving you some botheration.
Hey, listen, I got the best way to do it. I'll give out my email address, and anybody that wants to email me, it's Logan Hunter, LoganHunter, 88.
Okay.
Yahoo.com. LoganHunter88@yahoo.com. That's Logan Hunter, and then it's all lowercase, no spaces, and then 88. Now, I didn't pick it for Adolf Hitler, but I used to think that. I didn't know that 88 when I used to hang out with all the Aryan nations.
Was Heil Hitler, yeah.
I thought 88 meant infinity or eternity, and I didn't know what it meant.
Okay.
So I always liked the number 8. I used to take martial arts, and I used to use 8 when used to do the sticks or the nunchucks. We used to do a figure 8. Anyway, but it's LoganHunter88@yahoo.com.
Okay. Alrighty. Well, any case, the thing is that Christian identity has quite a few different beliefs or some people call them heresies. I don't. Essentially, I myself am not prepared to go ahead and just Paul out of the Bible and put the lost books.
No. What I'm telling you is, okay, this is what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm not a Paul. I'm a Yahweh lover. I'm not a Paul basher. I'm accusing Paul of being a Yahweh hater. I'm accusing Paul of bashing Yahweh, okay? And I can prove that when you say that race doesn't matter, that the laws are done away with, that we're just under grace, okay, then when you say that that marriage is bad because Paul said that everybody else should be like him and not get married, why do you think the white race is so screwed up? Why do you think that all the other races have no problem marrying their own kind and making a bunch of babies? Okay, but the white race is told, he told the men not to get married and not to even touch women. Well, it's in there. You go read it, okay? So if you're the same Paul, you go read where Paul says it's better not to touch a woman. And that means not just have sex, but don't even touch them and all that other stuff.
Okay?
You go read it because it's in there, buddy, and I got a serious problem. Because when I first start reading the New Testament. And I was told that that was the infallible 100% Word of God. Okay, so if you want to admit that there's a translation error, then you got to go read Paul and admit there's some problems there too. So, see, you, Pastor Linstead, have no problem admitting that the name Yahweh was taken out of the Bible. You have no problem admitting that John 3:16 is phony. Now, why don't you go read all that bullshit that so-called Paul is quoted as having said? And you see if you've got any, if you think any of the so-called words of Paul might be adulterated. That's all I'm going to challenge you, because you know what? I don't need Paul. I don't need John 3:16. I don't need any bullshit that doesn't line up with Yahweh and his name and the identity message that the scriptures and the laws of Yahweh were only for Adam, the first white man in a flesh body, and his racial descendants.
Okay.
And I tell people, I say the Bible's not for the black race. It's not for the Chinese race. It's not for all these Mongol Mexicans or Mongol Indians. And it sure as hell ain't for the damn Jews. The only thing Yahweh said the Jews are getting is hellfire, okay? So, I mean, don't ever accuse me of being a damn Jew lover, because I'm not going to...
I'm not making any accusations, Logan.
No, I know you're not. I'm just saying, all these other identity people are soft on the Jew. I'm not going to be, okay?
Well, I believe they're the spawn, you know, I believe they're the literal spawn of Satan. I don't have any use for Jews at all. There's no such thing as a good Jew. And,
I agree.
Okay. And I would say we agree with quite a few things. I wanted to go ahead and rather than go ahead and cover, you know, what you believe, I wanted to go ahead and pretty well cover how you got to, you know, what you believe here. You said that you didn't know the, you know, identity message till the age of 28, and you essentially got it through Wickstrom, or, you know, how did you get into Christian identity anyway?
I'll tell you what, Buddy Johnson, Pastor Johnson, mm-hmm. Pastor Buddy, is the first person that sat me down in his living room with his wife, and I think one other person was there. And he laid all the bombshell on me. And Bud, to be honest, Buddy is kind of a country bumpkin shucking and jobber. He's not the most intelligent white man. He's not even the best speaker in identity. He's not even the smartest man.
He has his notions here.
Okay.
I've never had a problem.
But what I'm saying is that I didn't have a problem. I had never liked Jews. And when he laid out the information, even though it wasn't the best presentation in the world, it certainly wasn't the worst. When he laid it on me, it was like all the lights went off, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It was like everything made sense. Now I know why everything's so screwed up, why the white race is so screwed up, why everything is so evil. Okay, we didn't all come from Adam. We weren't all of Yahweh God. We weren't all his children. And that Satan not only existed, you know, there's a lot of people in identity that say there's no Satan. Okay?
I know a few of them here. Yes, I know a few of them, and they're no good.
There's a guy down in Georgia that's friends with Buddy that has denied the identity message, that is British Israelism at best. At the very best, he's British Israel. He's a big Jew lover, and he's a big lunar calendar guy. His name's Arnold Bowen. He told me to my face, he said, there is no Satan, that Yahweh pretends to be Satan to scare people. Okay? Now, that guy, first of all, he's already denied identity. He's already blasphemed Yahweh. He's blasphemed the Holy Spirit. He said that everything evil that is attributed to Satan is coming from Yahweh. He's saying that Yahweh is double-minded. He's saying that Yahweh is not only God, but the devil. Now, Arnold Bowen has a serious problem with that. Okay?
Okay, I've never heard of Arthur Bowen.
I'll tell you what, Buddy Johnson gets all his winter calendar from Arnold Bowen.
Okay.
He gets a bunch of things from Arnold Bowen. And I told Buddy a long time ago, because Arnold Bowen, he was taught by Jim Wickstrom and Buddy Identity, because shortly after I met Buddy, I met Jim Wickstrom, and I met Paul Burnham and all these other people. Okay, and I have met Jim Wickstrom. I've been face-to-face and had breakfast with him. I've been around Jim Wickstrom a dozen times probably, okay, and I used to buy all his tapes and everything. And then I found out that he was wrong on doctrine, and he wouldn't listen to truth. He wouldn't listen to reason, okay? If you're not willing to listen to reason that maybe you're wrong on something, okay, and if you're not willing to prove all things, okay, then you can't be, then you have a problem. Yahweh said prove all things and only hold on to those things which are truth. Okay?
Okay.
And if you're all about ego and you're all about money and you're all about playing politics and playing church and you're all about traditions of man, I don't give a damn about tradition. I don't give a damn if my granddaddy was a Baptist or he was a Republican or Democrat or whatever. I don't give a damn. Okay? I've taught my whole family the identity message, and they don't, even though they know it's the truth, I taught every white person that I come into contact that I can as much about Yahweh, the truth, and the white race, and who the Jews are. I've taught everybody, all the white people I can. And you know what? 99.9999% of the white race, they don't give a damn about Yahweh. They don't give a damn about truly repenting. Okay, the only way to truly repent is not getting baptized, not joining the church. The only way to truly repent as a white person is to humbly repent of breaking his 613 laws and to go and sin no more. He told Mary Magdalene, he told the blind man who he cured, he told them both, go and keep my commandments and sin no more. What about the rich man, Martin? He said, the rich man said, what must I do to have eternal life? He said, keep all my commandments. And, you know, the rich man said, I have kept all your laws from the time I was little. Okay, and Yahshua knew he had. And he told him, he said, well, you only lack one thing then. He said, sell all your riches and give to the poor and take up your cross and follow after me. And he told him, it'll be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the gates of Orion heaven. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you something. It's impossible for a camel to go through because the eye of the needle is a narrow gate in the old Jerusalem, and there's no way a camel could go through it.
Okay, I've heard that. So you originally were with Buddy Johnson and then through Wickstrom, and was there anybody else?
After I ditched Wickstrom, I wanted to find out why Paul Burnham had a falling out with Wickstrom. And nobody, because I had always heard about Paul Burnham, but he never showed up at the feast days in Tennessee. Okay, so then I got his number off of Paul Burnham and Clifton Emahizer used to be friends. And Clifton Emahizer and Bill White used to be friends with Paul Burnham until they all had a falling out. Well, I got Bill White had a website called The Children of Yahweh, and I got Paul Burnham's phone number off that.
Okay, Bill White, he's different than the old Commander Bitch Tits Bill, right?
Bill, yes, that's a totally different. Bill White is a truck driver in Chicago, Illinois, and his sister was the fourth wife of Jim Wickstrom. Okay?
Who's the latest wife of Wickstrom, by the way?
Huh?
Who's the latest Wickstrom, you know? I mean, does Wickstrom is Wickstrom just to four of them, or is he, you know, does he have any more? Or, you know, not all at once, I hope, right?
Well, Wickstrom tried to get Judy Nips to take multiple wives, and she wouldn't do it.
Okay.
And then he went to jail, and then they got divorced later after that, but she never would want it. But let me tell you something. Jim doesn't pay child support for his own children. He's not.
So you brought that up. So is he married to wife number four now or what?
No. He shacked up with Kathy Kallstrom, Keith Kallstrom's ex-wife. He shacked up with her after he got divorced from wife number four. He was only married to Cindy White, number four. He was only married to her for a short period of time. And she said that he was forcing her to have sex with other men while he videotaped her. Now, that's what she said. So either she's a liar or Jim Wickstrom is indeed.
Well, I mean, Wickstrom is sort of notorious here, so I'd probably tend to believe wife number four. I mean, you know, you're sort of telling me something that I didn't really. You're telling me a lot I didn't really know before here, to be honest with you.
Well, I can unload a lot of truth, but
is there another wife named Loretta somewhere or what?
Well, I mean, I don't keep tabs with Jim Wickstrom anymore after he threatened to stick a bunch of skinheads on me and knock my teeth out because I was exposing all these Mongols and Jews that were in his camp. So, you know, when somebody claims to love Yahweh and hate the Jews, and then they hang out with a bunch of government agent Jews, and they slobber all over them, and they call them brother, and they take money from them, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. I love Yahweh. I love racial purity. I love the white race. I love everything that Yahweh made. Kind gets kind after its own kind.
Okay.
Let me tell you something, okay? When I came into identity, there weren't any identity women that were available to date, okay? I met a lady off the internet, okay? Everybody in identity thought she was pure white. She had blonde hair and blue-green eyes, okay? And you know what? I got married, but after the DNA test proved, and then we got around her grandmother, and her grandmother had a little bit of her nose, and she didn't look too good, okay? Let me tell you something. I had no problem getting an annulment,
okay?
And for some reason, maybe it was Yahweh's divine protection, when we first got married, she didn't want no birth control, so I used protection. So, you know, I didn't adulterate. The blood didn't touch blood, okay?
Okay.
I didn't adulterate, okay? But you know what? I had no problem hating all Jews, okay? And even though I dated and I was got into a relationship out of ignorance because I didn't know she was a devil, let me tell you something. I hate all those devils, okay? Yahweh said he hates them all. He told them they were all, they couldn't escape damnation. They were all going to hell. So, I have no problem hating them. Now, when I tell Jim Wickstrom, and I prove that people that he supports, that he calls friends, I prove that they're Mongols or they're Jews, like Eli James, or actually, Jim don't even claim to be friends with Eli James.
Not anymore.
But I could name some that Jim does claim to be friends, and I don't want to name two. Well, if you really want me to, I'll name some names, okay? Do you want me to?
Sure, go ahead. Is he still married to this Kallstrom woman or living with this Kallstrom woman?
I don't even think he was married to Kallstrom. They were shacking up, and he was having her babysit his son from wife number three. The reason he got custody of the son of wife number three is he wanted to look good. He wanted to look like the good, loving father. Jim could care less. He used that little boy as a front, okay? You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
Because wife number three, she was she had tattoos and she was very vulgar and I think she might have been a drunk or drug addict and she used to live in Texarkana. He used to, but he hung out with her for a while, but she kicked him out, and I think he took the son with her. But that's why he got with Kathy Kallstrom. Now, the word is that Keith Kallstrom, okay, Kathy Kallstrom's ex-husband, that his mother, not his father, who was a white man,
what was Mr. Kallstrom, the father's name? He was from Oklahoma. Anyway, Keith Kallstrom, okay, admitted that his mother was part Jewish. He admitted to Paul Burnham. Paul Burnham relayed this to me. I confronted him on it. He didn't deny it. Okay? So, basically, the guy that tried to get everybody to go up to Michigan to get his wife back, and then he gets put in jail, and then he gets killed. Do you want to know why he was killed in jail, supposedly? Supposedly, he was going to go into court, and he was going to testify that Jim Wickstrom was a federal agent just like Hal Turner. And they weren't going to let that come out in court. And because the reason that Jim Wickstrom is so much more valuable than Hal Turner was expendable, okay?
Okay.
Jim Wickstrom is a pillar in identity, okay? And there's a lot...
Well, not anymore, but go on.
There's a lot of people that... you know, I got a good question, okay?
Sure.
Is it any wonder that all these people that have been around Jim Wickstrom either end up getting murdered or getting sent to prison, but nothing ever happens to Jim. Jim gives the order, just like that guy, Michael somebody, who claimed to be the Archangel Michael, and he killed that blonde-haired boy because he said he was a Mongol. Well, I know that blonde-haired boy's daddy that he killed, okay? And the daddy says, no, he wasn't a Mongol, that guy was crazier than hell, he killed my son.
Yeah.
Okay? Jim Wickstrom was the one that brainwashed him to do it. Now, Jim Wickstrom didn't do a day in jail for that, but this guy's been locked away, you know? So, if Jim, how come there's this special protection over Jim that Jim can, and supposedly Jim was in, he was in Oklahoma City the day that the day that Timothy McVeigh and all that stuff blew up and everything, and he was connected somehow to it, okay? Now, I'm just going to tell you something, okay? All these people that Jim riles up and gets them to go commit a crime or something, they get killed or they get put in jail. Nothing ever happens to Jim.
Well, that's why you should avoid Jim Wickstrom then.
Yeah, well, just like Hal Turner. Hal Turner was responsible for ratting and setting up over 200 white nationalists, over 200 white people got set up and sent to jail because of Hal Turner. And after Hal Turner had already started to, his usefulness to the feds, I guess wore off and he was no longer, useful to them, then he was expendable. But Jim, right now, you know, a lot of stupid white rednecks will still buy Jim's bullshit, okay, and think that he's 100% legitimate. Okay, somebody like me or you that puts a couple of brain cells together, and we can figure things out and think for ourselves, and we want to have a relationship with Yahweh, and we don't want to worship a man, okay? Instead of worshiping Yahweh, they want to worship Jim Wickstrom or Herbert Armstrong or some other man. You understand what I'm saying? So... But anyway, that's how once I figured out Jim was not going to listen to reason and that he had a lot of other problems, and I got here to pass Jim. Okay. And then I moved on to Paul Burnham. Okay. And then, of course, Paul Burnham, I'm not going to bash him except that he thinks he knows it all. Okay. And that when I tried to just very calmly quote scripture to Paul Burnham, and that he couldn't refute, by the way, that he cusses me out and cusses out a bunch of people in Michigan that I know and says they're going to hell, and that, and we apologize later, but the thing is that, Martin, before I was 28 years old, I didn't know my rear end from a hole in the ground. I didn't know anything about what was going on in this universe.
Okay.
I was dumbed down and ignorant of a lot of things. Okay, I was a lost sheep of the house of Israel. I don't want to be dumbed down anymore, Martin. Okay, it's all about Yahweh and the truth. That's what I'm saying. If anything that I've said to you, if you can prove me wrong, okay, I'm not a Paul basher, I'm a Yahweh lover. I'm accusing Paul's or so-called the words in the modern translations of the Bible, I'm accusing those words of being adulterated at the very least. Okay? It doesn't line up with the rest of Yahweh's words, okay? And let's just look at the red letters, okay? Like I said, even Peter was fallible because the cock crowed three times, okay? But Peter was the only true apostle that took up for Paul. None of the other ones did. And Paul, if you study the history and all the Bible, you'll find out that Paul got into it with a bunch of true apostles, okay?
So how long, I don't really want to go ahead and cover Paul or anything like that. This is sort of new, and pretty well, you know, I want to go ahead and have Keith have a time. Right now I'm trying to go ahead and regain control of my.
Give out my email because I'm going to hang up in a minute, and then Keith can do all the talking. But I want you to give out my email address. And that way, Keith or anybody else that wants to email me can contact me that way.
Well, why don't you go ahead and give out your email address yourself? What did you say? LoganHunter88@yahoo.com?
You got it, buddy. LoganHunter88@yahoo.com. That's it. I check it every day. I check it several times a day.
And you're what? You're in your early 40s or so right now? So you've been...
41 years old. Okay, I used to have a radio show called Logan's Hunt, H-U-N-T.
On Talk Show?
I used to have that. I did one radio show with Colonel Farrell. I did one radio show with Bob Jones. I did a bunch of radio shows with a guy that used to be a member of the Worldwide Church of God with Herbert Armstrong, and his name was Leonard. His last name was... I think his name was John Leonard out of Denver, Colorado, or Grand Junction, Colorado. And he was an elderly guy, and he contacted me, and we were on the radio for a long time together. And like I said, I got kicked off of Hal Turner. I got kicked off of Dan John's radio show, and that's fine. I even had Dan Gaiman. Dan Gaiman is so afraid of telling the truth and everything. He won't even speak.
Well, Dan Gaiman doesn't have a good reputation because he took some money from the order and then he snitched people out at Fort Smith.
Dan Gaiman's a coward.
He's a thief too. He stole from his own brother.
Well, he's not just a thief. He's a coward. Anybody that's ashamed of Yahweh and his words and quoting it because they don't want to be persecuted by the Jews. What he told me, he said, I'm not going to talk on the phone because they'll come down on me. Let me tell you something. Yahweh said, if you're ashamed of me and my words, that I'm, you know, he said, if you deny me and my words, I'm going to deny you. Okay.
Okay. Well, I mean, Dan Gaiman is not particularly respected here either. Although I've never had any contact with Mr. Gaiman. As I look at, if you go ahead and take order money and then you go ahead and snitch them out here, you shouldn't have took the money if you're just going to go ahead and snitch out. So Dan Gaiman doesn't, you know, there's not too much respect, you know, from this quarter for Dan Gaiman. In any case, so
look, we're in total agreement on everything, and you know what? Like I said, I'm not Paul Baxter. I'm a Yahweh lover. All I'm challenging you to do is to take all the words of Paul, and you go choke it down and swallow all that, and you come back and tell me and every and you t- and tell in Yahweh's name, you tell me that's 100% infallible. Okay. Now, wait a minute. Are you married? Paul says it's better not to be married.
Well, I'm not zog paper married, but I've been living with
same. No, wait a minute. Paul says it's better not to even touch a woman. You need to go.
Well, I, you know, Well, I don't think he said exactly that. He said it was better to marry than to burn. So I'm sort of married. I'm not burning.
You better go back and read Paul. He says it's better not to even touch a woman. Okay? Why do you think the white race is so screwed up?
I think it's because of Wiggers myself.
Let me tell you something. The other races that play church, they don't give a damn about Yahweh. They don't give a damn about the Bible. Some sorry sap like me that reads the Bible and reads all that bullshit of Paul and tries to put it all together and say that's the infallible word of Yahweh. It's not the infallible. It's been tampered with, buddy. Okay? The modern scriptures are not the 100% word of Yahweh because the Catholic Church and the Jews have doctored it up. Can we agree on the fact that the modern, and Bible is a Catholic word, it's Latin for biblio, book, okay? So, can we agree that the modern King James or the NIV or whatever modern Bible you want, that it's not 100% infallible? Can we agree on that?
I can agree that it's not 100% infallible. You know, I can say that it's not 100% infallible, but on the other hand, what we think goes here, I mean, I've been in Christianity since I was a kid, and I see so many people, they knew it all, and they were so wrapped up, in what they believed. You know, pretty well I've seen new converts, and they've got to go ahead and convert their boss, their wife, their brother. Everybody else and their brother doesn't want to hear it or anything like that. So
you convert anybody if they don't want to change.
That's
thousands of white people. But you know what? Unless they're willing to repent and change and get right with Yahweh, and they aren't, okay? Just because you get dunked in some little tub of water in some phony church, that ain't repenting, okay? That ain't saving you.
Oh, I agree.
All these Christians that call on the pagan name of Jesus, and let me tell you something, Yahweh and Yeshua are from the original translations. Jesus cannot translate, it does not come, it's not a translation or a transliteration. You can't get Jesus from Yeshua, okay? Now, when you go read in Revelations where it talks about the whore that sits on many waters and seven hills, and it talks about the whore church, the Roman Empire and all that, and you go read that the blasphemy, the name, okay, what name are all the churches calling on? It's not Yahweh, okay? Now, I know you use a certain name, but I told you, Yeshua. Do you have a problem with Yeshua being the name or the title for the Messiah? Do you have a problem with Yeshua?
No, we have some sacred names people about 18 miles away, and I get along fine with them.
Hold on. You know what? Let's talk about me and you and forget about all the other identity of people and everything.
Okay.
Let me ask you something. Where two or more are gathered, Yahweh's in the midst.
Mm-hmm.
It's me, you, and Yahweh, okay?
Okay.
It's me, you, and Yahweh. We're having a conversation. Because I'm not asking what your wife believes, or your daddy, or your son, okay? Because they can't save you, okay? And you're not asking me what my family, or my mom and daddy, or whatever, or my brother, or whoever believes, okay? Because I'm not asking them to be accountable for me, okay? I'm going to be accountable for what I'm doing right now and saying right now to Yahweh, because I'm going to face Yahweh about what I'm saying right now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this is it, okay? Does it say that there's only one name whereby you must be saved? There's only one, and if you believe in baptism, you don't have to be baptized to be saved. Okay, baptism was an act. If baptism could save you, then John the Baptist could have saved us all, and we wouldn't have needed Yeshua. Okay, now here's the thing: why did Yeshua allow John the Baptist to baptize him? It was just a symbolic act. Okay, because Yeshua didn't have any sin, okay?
So he didn't, okay. Baptism was a symbolic act of washing away the dirty body, but the only way that you can, the only way that you can truly repent is to stop sinning. So it's the grace of Yeshua, but it's also works, and the works of repentance. And repentance is not, it's not just getting baptized, but it's to have
the... To be actually sorry for the sins that you have committed.
Yeah,
that's how you know about
sorry,
it.
Sorry, and you're going to stop breaking his laws, okay? The churches don't teach that, because when you ask them what sin is, Yahweh's definition, sin is transgression of the law. Whose laws? Not man-made laws, not church laws, but Yahweh's laws. There are 613 laws in the Old Testament. Now,
okay.
I'm going to ask you this.
Sure.
If you knew that you and I and all pure white people were pure Israel, and you knew the Jews were Satan's kids,
and you knew
that there was a 75 or 8,000 year war going on ever since Eve slept with Satan and made Cain,
okay.
And the offspring of Cain, the descendants' offspring, that they were the goats and they were the tares, and there was a battle of the children of lightness and the children of darkness. If you knew this battle was going, and King Saul had a chance to kill them all, he didn't do it. Okay, and ever since, Adam was not told to kill Cain. If he had been told, he would have done it. But you know what? Satan would have just come back and made a Cain 2 or a Cain 3. He would have kept on coming. But Yahweh did order King Saul to kill all the Jews, and he didn't do it. Okay?
The Amalekites you're talking about.
The Hittites, the Amalekites, all of those Ites people were Jewish. Okay?
Okay, but there were some people outside of Saul's purview, just like there were Jews outside of Hitler's reign, that Hitler couldn't kill all the Jews, much less, you know, neither could Saul.
Okay, here's the thing. Hitler and the white Germans were way, 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 way too nice.
I'm agreed.
Oh, no, they didn't even know the identity message. The final solution was to ship all the Jews to Madagascar.
Or to Palestine, yes.
They wanted to ship them out of there. They did not. There was no Holocaust.
No, there wasn't. We're agreed on that here, Logan. Hey, Logan.
There should have been. If Hitler had known what you and I know, maybe there would have been.
Well, the thing about it is that Hitler didn't have the power. I mean, for all these people who talk about 6 million Jews, essentially there was only, you know, at the greatest height of the German Empire, you know, German conquest, he only had control over 2.5 million Jews, and he didn't really want to go ahead and kill them all. He wanted to go ahead and transfer the Zionist Jews to Palestine to, you know, have them make trouble for the British. And he wanted to go ahead and ship the non-Zionist Jews to Madagascar, and he wasn't able to go ahead and do that. And also,
let's bring up, since the audience may not know, what were the Nuremberg Laws, and the only white country I know in the last 2,000 years that tried to pass laws of racial purity. Why don't you explain the Nuremberg Laws to the audience?
Well, generally, from what I gather... I'm not really a Hitler scholar, and I don't really want to go ahead and do the the Finkelstein program. What I want to do is give Keith a chance to go ahead and call in Logan, and essentially you've gone ahead and studied quite a bit. You studied quite a bit of the lost books of the Bible. You do understand is that, see, I've seen so many people who I did like, I did respect, although I didn't agree with them, Willie Martin being, you know, one of them. And essentially, I can't and I won't go ahead and browbeat, you know, people who go ahead and, you know, disagree on certain things in Christian identity. You know, you do understand because as I look at it, I may think that I know it all, but I'm not going to go ahead and insist, you know, and force somebody, you know, to my belief here. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, I'm going to tell you something. Okay? I'm not a Paul basher. I'm a Yahweh lover.
Okay. You said that.
I'm going to tell you something. All I need, okay, I have a relationship with Yahweh. All I need is to fear Yahweh, keep his, repent, which I have done, keep his 613 laws, which I don't go around breaking any of his laws anymore, like
okay.
I do out of ignorance. Okay. So I fear him and keep his commandments, and I call on the name of Yahweh for salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's all I need. Okay?
Okay.
I don't need a bunch of bullshit churches. I don't need any of the writings of Paul. Okay? And really, I don't need any other writings. I could take the red letters of Yahshua. I wouldn't even need any of the writings of the other apostles, okay? Because some of that is milk. All I need is meat, okay? I'm not a little baby that needs, you know, really. See, this is the problem we have, even in identity.
Mm-hmm.
People don't want to do their homework. They want one man to do it all for them, and they're lazy. See, the white race gets really lazy, and all they want to do is they want to be spoon-fed stuff. They want their ears tingled and everything, okay? And you and I are having a great conversation, and neither one of us is, even though it's your radio show, we both make great points, and I appreciate your platform for allowing me to speak. And like I said, if anybody, you or Keith or anybody else wants to email me, please, you like what I said, you don't, you disagree, whatever, all I ask is you to try to prove me wrong from Scripture or any other truth or facts. And if you can prove me wrong, I'll read it. And if you can show me where I'm wrong, I'll repent.
Okay. Well, I don't think...
It's not about me, it's about Yahweh and truth. That's all I'm saying.
I don't think you really need to repent. I sort of believe it's not you who chooses Yeshua, but rather it's Yeshua who goes ahead and chooses you. And he's going to go ahead and choose people of different levels of understanding. And as a result, there's not going to go ahead and be a lot of agreement, you know, or perfect agreement among those who Yahshua chooses. Do you see my point?
I see your point. And if you're pure white and we disagree, that's great. If you're some mongrel like Finkelstein or Rio or Eli James, once I figure out you're a mongrel and I know you're only going to lie, steal, and murder, I'm not even going to fellowship, because you know what? We're trying to go to only the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
That's right.
Trying to be obedient to Yahweh.
Well, I'm pretty sure the saint's a Jew. I know he's a lie. He's a lying murderous. He's a lying murderous sociopath.
I know he's a murderer because when he was in prison, he beat a pig. Look.
Well, no, he is a pig. That's why he went to prison. He was a pig and he murdered some Puerto Rican.
Yeah, he murdered some Puerto Rican for nothing. Look, I can understand it for the self defense.
Well, it wasn't even that he went ahead and murdered the Puerto Rican. It was that he lied. He just out and out lied to me several times. I mean, he doesn't have a problem with lying to people. Think does. I mean, he's a total amoral sociopath.
And see, Emanizer takes up for him, and he says, oh, he's a genius in Greek. Well, you know what? The Bible was written in Hebrew and Aramaic, not Greek. Greek was not the original translation.
Well, he's not really a Greek scholar either. Anybody who's able to go, you know, all these Greeks who are able to speak Greek, they laugh at Finkelstein. I've caught him lying, you know, I've caught him lying on his translation a couple times, and essentially he's just a criminal mamzer who went ahead and is sent to go ahead and come in Christianity. Now, as far as what Emahizer knows, you know, I think Emahizer knows that Brian Real is a mamzer. I think he knows that Fink is a lying criminal. Eli James knew it all along, and now Eli James is whining about how he didn't fight him, and Anglin, Cecil Truett, and Morris Gillette. They're whining that he only figured out that Fink was a lying, was a lying pig just recently after they, after Fink went ahead and started a big fight with him. And essentially, I've been telling about Fink for over a year. And, hey, anybody who wanted to know about Fink, could have gone ahead and listened to me, but no. No, these people just lie. And the reason they lie is because they're Jews and Mamzers, and because they're evildoers. They lie because that's their nature. And I agree.
And that's why, once I figure that out, even if it's a white person, but they're full of bullshit, okay, and if I go to them and I try to talk reason to them, if they don't want to listen, I can't beat it into them. I'm moving on. I'm not going to waste my time, okay?
Well, it's not going to go ahead and work. I mean, pretty well everyone in Christian Identity, everyone who's a grown man, generally you can't go ahead and force him to, believe anything. All you can do is just simply open, go ahead and ask him a question or two and let him figure it out for himself, yes or no, one way or the other. Okay?
Yeah, I agree. Okay, that makes sense.
All right. Well, Logan, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to let you go and let, Keith have a chance to go ahead and call in. And, Keith, he thinks the King James Bible is, pretty well very much close to sufficient unto itself. And I'll go ahead and let Keith go ahead and call in. And we're going to go ahead and take a break. So, thanks for calling in, Logan, okay?
Praise Yahweh. Take care. Thank you.
Praise Yahweh. Hail victory. All right, folks, we're going to go ahead and take a short break, and then I'm going to go ahead and have, ask Keith to call in if he's still up. Hail victory, folks.
Our flag is proudly floating on the land and on the main. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Beneath it oft we've conquered and will conquer oft again. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Our Dixie forever, she's never at a loss. Down with the eagle and up with the cross. We will rally round, the bonnie flag will rally once again. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Our gallant boys have marched to the rolling of the drums. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. And the leaders in charge cry out, come, boys, come. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Our Dixie forever, she's never at a loss. Down with the eagle and up with the cross. We will rally around, the bonnie flag will rally once again. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. They have laid down their lives on the bloody battlefield. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Their motto is resistance to the tyrants, never yield. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Our Dixie forever, she's never at a loss. Down with the eagle and up with the cross. We will rally round, the bonnie flag will rally once again. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom.
back. I got plenty of time here. Anyway, Keith, if you would go ahead and call in to 417-472-6901, I'd appreciate it. The reason I prefer using the house phone other than the cell phone is that I once had William B. go ahead and call in to the cell phone, and for about 45 minutes I had to spend about 5 hours boosting him up. The reason I use the house phone to go ahead and record is that the MP3 will pick up the house phone on speaker. Okay, so anyway, I don't really mind it being a 4-hour show. It's not going to be a 5-hour show because I'm not able to go ahead and call in *69 to continue it, okay? So, anyway, what happened to the real William, the real William B. is that usually this time of night he's at work. So, if he's at work, he's at work, okay? Okay. Hey, Keith? Yeah, Keith, could you go ahead and call into the house phone? Essentially, the reason for this silliness is, well, Eli James and Brian Rio got me kicked off TalkShoe, and now I can't make a free call, into TalkShoe anymore on my cell phone. All right. Okay. Bye-bye. Anyway, Keith's going to go ahead and call in in a minute. And heck, I got three bars. I got three bars on the house phone. The other phone is being charged up. Hello, Keith.
Hello there.
I had Logan on for about an hour or two. He's none too fond of Paul. And I don't think he's fond of the King James Bible is presently there. So, essentially, I'll give you more than equal time to go ahead and...
Well, I don't think I have 2 hours in me. I just wanted to say a couple things.
Sure.
I appreciate his zeal.
Mm-hmm.
And we agree on a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a problem over Bible versions, and the King James is not a modern version. It's 400 years old.
Yeah. This year it is.
And you said it right. Paul did not say don't marry. He said it's better. He talked about being in the present distress.
Paul thought that Jesus Christ would return.
726, under this present distress. Paul just said if you devote yourself fully to God, it's better. But it's better to marry than to burn.
That's true.
He said, do we not have the power to lead about a wife? Which kills the Catholics and their clergy with the celibate priesthood and all that. But
well, the celibate priesthood in many cases dates, was not only a means, is prescribed as a means to go ahead and keep the property within the Roman Catholic Church as opposed to bishops giving it to their children. But I would say the real reason was that the Roman Catholic Church came out of the Baal cult of Cybele, and you had some Roman Catholic priests who used to be, members of the Baal cult of Cybele, and they said, well, hey, since we can't take a wife, since we gotta remain celibate, wouldn't it just be easier to go ahead and just castrate ourselves? And I guess they said, no, don't do that here. But you actually had some of the early Roman Catholic, people go ahead, priests go ahead and castrate themselves to remove themselves from temptation. And there's some people who say that they should have continued with that. But,
mind you, there was an Ethiopian eunuch. Christ said some men are made eunuchs for men, and
mm-hmm.
some men are made eunuchs for God, though not all men can hear this.
Mm-hmm.
Paul did not forbid marriage. He did not hate women. I'm not King James only. I'm just saying that, the Geneva Bible, the margin notes were commentaries by the heretic named Calvin. So I'm not saying anything against the Geneva, the Bibles before. I'm talking about modern versions. I can't stand because they changed. Can I read you 8 verses from Acts?
By all means. But on the other hand, probably Logan would say that since Acts has to do with Paul, that therefore it shouldn't be in the Bible.
Yeah, well, Paul was beaten 5 times. He was shipwrecked 3 times. He was chased, hunted down, persecuted. He was stoned to death and resurrected by God. I mean, this man gave his life, so, you know, maybe we could listen to
him. Well, I do not agree. For a different reason, I have seen South African Christian Identity women, they want to go ahead and do away with Paul because Paul said something in 1 Corinthians 14, 34-35, about them being Fountain Church. And, I go ahead and think that usually the reason that South Africans are dead is that they let their women rule over them. And, you know, I've never seen a South African, you know, Christian Identity woman who didn't believe that Paul should be taken out of the Bible. So whenever somebody talks about taking Paul out of the New Testament, I immediately say, I don't think so. I don't agree with it because...
Hey, well, I'm just saying, he said, if you can show me in the Bible where I'm wrong, so I wanted to read 8 verses.
Go ahead. You know, maybe he's listening.
Okay, this is Acts 14, verse 8, and there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands under the gate, and would have done sacrifice with the people. Which when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out. Let me say something to you, Martin. Mm-hmm. Would you not interrupt me this time?
Sure.
Yes, there were 12 apostles appointed unto the house of Judah. Because when Christ was alive, he couldn't go to the house of Israel. They were still a divorced woman. They were unclean. It was only after his death that he raised up an apostle, Paul, out of season, like he said, with Barnabas, and their mission was unto the Gentiles, who are biblically defined as the house of Israel, like we talked about, Romans 9:24-26, being defined from Hosea chapter 1 and 2. So if they check the facts, the problem is, the Bible says this. It says an account that the long-suffering of our Lord, and this is 2 Peter 3, 15-16, is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, is also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned in unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Peter did not say he didn't understand Paul. He said the things he writes are hard to be understood, because they don't have the knowledge of the history of the Bible. They don't understand that Paul's called a Jew because he's the tribe of Benjamin, which is of the house of Judah. Mm-hmm. But he was not an apostle appointed unto the house of Judah, as the original 12 were. He was an apostle unto the house of Israel called Gentiles. Those are some facts we got to get straight. This will go on forever. And there's not 613 laws in the Bible. That's the Talmud. Got to get those straight. But he does have a lot of things right, and he's zealous, and I appreciate that. And I'm not Big Ted either. I'm not going to fellowship with preterists. I'm not going to fellowship with people who say there's no devil.
Well, I know some of the no devil people, and they're not going to fellowship with you or me either, so.
Good enough for me. That works. Mm. But there's so much more. I mean, the book of Acts is the history of the church. You know, Paul was zealous. Paul was zealous when he was in what he called the Jews' religion, which was the perversion by the Pharisees. He was in the law blameless. This man was not a dishonorable man. He was zealous. He believed that he was persecuting Christians rightly because they were heretics.
Mm-hmm.
Then he converted. He became the greatest, from the greatest persecutor of the church, he became the apostle that wrote at least 13 books of the New, I don't call it the New Testament, it's the newer scriptures. The New Testament, Hebrews 8:8, Jeremiah 31:31. So, you know, defining the terms and getting some things straight, and King James is not a modern version. And the Geneva basically identical. They use different words, but the law, it's the same. Everything's the same. You use different words to make the point, but nothing wrong with it. I just tell people don't get the Geneva because it's harder to read. And
well, it's more expensive. Essentially, it just has a bunch of margin notes, and whether or not you want to go ahead and agree with the margin notes, you know, the King James Bible had this real piece of shit named Cyrus Scofield, who the Jews had hired to go ahead and say that Jews were God's chosen people. And he went ahead and wrote a bunch of crap in the margins. You know what I mean?
That's right. They used Scofield too, like they did John Nelson Darby before him, and then Bullen was the same thing. He's a dispensationalist. Now, all commentaries and opinions and interpretations should be out. You study the text for itself. You know, let all men be liars and let God be true. But see, there was just so many things in that call that were good. I mean, Logan, I understand. See, but Paul, they keep going to the stupid Acts, you know, 17 verse 26, make all nations of one blood. It's the same word. It's the Gentiles. All the nations of Israel are one blood. Paul is the one teaching that the divorced house of Israel was no longer divorced. Even Peter had a hard time accepting that at first. And why not? They've been divorced for 770 years. Paul said, flee fornication, 1 Corinthians 6:18. He spoke against interracial marriage. Fornication is defined as interracial marriage. Hebrews 12, Esau the fornicator. Go back to Genesis 1:26, the last two verses. He married seed of the serpent women. We talked about that before, that he did marry lawfully in one instance. But only one. You know, he married Hittite women first.
Yeah.
It was a grief of mine to Rebekah and Isaac. That's Genesis 1:26. So, no, Paul did not. Paul, you know, we talked about it, Martin. You know, Romans 9, Paul gave the single most important sentence you could ever read in the Bible. It lays out all Christianity in one sentence in three verses. Romans 9, 3 to 5. And he tells you plainly that the adoption, the glory, the covenant, the giving law, the service of God, and the promises all pertain to Israel according to the flesh. Period. No one else. Paul is not a covenant breaker. Paul is not a false Jew. Paul is not an imposter. The Bible's right. All these men are wrong. The Bible's right.
Well, what I have a problem with, probably with Logan, is that how do you, if you're going to go ahead and take out some things based upon what you know at the time, I mean, where does it end here? You're setting yourself up to determine what belongs in the Bible as opposed to what has gone ahead and stood, the test of time. Now, being raised in Herbert Armstrong's church, and then seeing, all the, bad things that Herbert Armstrong did and his ministers did, and then seeing all these people go ahead and, getting into their own notions and their own error, I guess I've learned quite a bit of tolerance as long as these people, I don't have a problem with what they believe as long as they're not Jews or mamzers or criminals or, evildoers coming in to go ahead and cause trouble.
That's right. If they're trying to learn and striving for the truth.
Well, as long as they are Israelites, and that's what I was trying to tell Logan, is that it's not we who choose Jesus Christ. It's not we who choose Yahweh. It's Jesus, or Yeshua.
But listen to me, will you please?
Sure.
Doctrine is important, and if you don't believe me, then spend a half an hour and read 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. Doctrine, sound words. Let them be accursed with any other doctrine's important. If you're of my race, and I correct you by the Bible and do a proof and you won't hear it, then, that's the problem.
Okay.
They don't study the Bible. They're listening to men preach the Bible by their interpretations. I can show you errors from everyone that he named. I mean, these people, I've been through all Comparé's work. I've been through Emery's work. I know where they're in error. They don't even understand, really, the word Jew, because the root is from the Law and the Prophets, and it's talking about those of the house of Judah.
Okay.
The New Scriptures, it's a geographical term. Now, didn't we do the proof and we showed that multitudes were converted right in Jerusalem? Didn't
we? Yeah, we went through that on the first episode.
Oh, all these people, they get stuck on, oh, the Jews came back from Babylon. No, those were Israelites, like the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
42,360. They had 530 years to multiply. There were millions there. That multitude could have been, even if it was as high as 500,000 that converted, it still wouldn't have been 1% of the population. And the other amazing thing is that probably 95 to 98% of all God's children, Israel, weren't even in Judea. They were in all Europe, in that huge place called Parthia by that time.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know the genealogies, the timelines, the words that are used. And
well, they were scattered. They were scattered from. They were scattered from, well, the British Isles to India. Supposedly, Thomas was murdered, you know, speaking to this tribe of, you know, still Aryans that were still there, still Israelites who were still there, and he was murdered at the behest of these Jews, supposedly. So you had the house of Israel scattered all the way from Britain to India.
That's right. They were, Parthia was a huge nation of city-states, and they were of Scythian stock. They were Israelites, too. Even the Persians were Adamic. When Esther was married, she was marrying into her own race, marrying the king, Ahasuerus. And she was a white woman. Mordecai was of the tribe of Benjamin. He's called a Jew because Benjamin's part of the house of Judah. It's really that simple. You're talking about the house of Judah and the house of Israel. 770-year divorce from 740 B.C. to 30 A.D. when Christ shed his blood. That's the thing. They just keep messing up that word Jew, and I mean these pastors that are 30 and 40 years in this can't get it straight yet. They just don't get it. I do proofs. I mean, it takes a while to do it. We could do the word Jew one of these times if you want to do it thoroughly, but...
Well, no, not tonight here. But
I mean, sometime if you want to, because it's just...
Well, we can probably go ahead and cover it on your program. I mean, it's your program, and you can go ahead and cover it if you wish here.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say is that generally I've seen so many Christian identity believers. I've seen so many. I mean, even within, Pastor John Britton, you know, told me that, Newman Britton believed in Ephraim's scepter, and his father James did not. And they used to have quite a few arguments. But they were still, when it came down to it, they were brothers. And so,
The Bible's simple on that. For the scepter's in Judah. Christ's genealogy is given. Hebrews 7 says it's evident that our Lord sprang from Judah. So when Buddy...
Well, I agree, but, you know, Pastor Buddy, you know, thinks different. And
well, see, but so much of this goes back to Swift, Copper, and Emery. We've got no devil, we've got preterism, we've got Swift saying that Jesus was of Joseph. So, I mean, if you go back and these are the main, you know, they did good works. They did like Logan. I don't have a problem with a lot that he said. I'd say we could probably get along. It's just that we got to correct the errors here. We got to get back to the basics. You know, there's all these, you know, it's innuendo. It's not based on the Bible. He said, call in if you can prove me wrong. So I read where the Bible says that Paul's an apostle. Acts 14:14. So
okay, he'd probably say that Acts doesn't belong in the Bible because it says that Paul's an apostle. Okay?
Anybody who adds to or takes away from this book, you add to the plagues and takes away his name out of the book of life. So if that's what they want, then they know how to do that. But I wouldn't suggest that route. I would suggest taking the Bible, another look at it, doing a little more study. Actually look up the word Jew. See who it pertains to. Why nobody was even called a Jew till more than 750 years after Israel entered into the land of Canaan. It was in the reign of...
Well, actually, the English language, the word J, the letter J, wasn't really derived till around the time of Shakespeare.
It didn't stop there. It was after that. It was in the late 1600s, but it's irrelevant.
Okay. Well,
we're saying Jews instead of Jews, it would still be the same thing.
Yeah, well, they were calling them, they were called Ewes or something like that here, so instead of Jews. Huh?
It doesn't matter whether you're in early English or middle English or modern English, the word is still the same. Yeah, whether it was Jewish or Jewish, it doesn't matter. It's still the House of Judah, the three tribes, southern kingdom.
Okay.
Yeah, so I mean, if you do the facts, and you can go back to 1 Chronicles 9 and read that those in the captivity in Babylon, some of them were even from Manasseh and Ephraim, where the birthright and blessing, not the scepter, the birthright and blessing was.
Okay. What I'm saying is that within British Israelite, I mean, Herbert Armstrong was just simply British Israelitism for prophet, i.e. Herbert's prophet, you know.
He was a heretic.
And, well, you know, I think he was a crook myself, yeah. But,
he was teaching Jesus Christ and teaching British Israelism.
I am the lone apostle, you know what I mean? You know, and anyway, what I've seen though is that as long as an Israelite, you know, as long as the character is an Israelite, he's going to go ahead and be brought in through, you know, there's going to be some who were brought in through Wesley Swift and Bertrand Comparé's, you know, dual seed line, you know, like my good friend Pastor John Britton. You know, who were raised dual seed line Christian identity, and there's some like me who were raised in Herbert Armstrong's church.
Right.
And what's going to end up is that when you're raised up in a certain, you know, or when you're first brought in, I mean, I know this one guy, you know, he got annoyed because I sort of made fun of him, but he thought that, you know, Christian identity was at its peak in 1994 when he came into it, and it's gone downhill ever since. And you got annoyed at me when I pointed out is that the reason you think that it was at its peak in 1994 is that that's when you first came into it, and ever since you look like it's gone ahead and gone downhill ever since. And you have so many people, you know, so many people coming in, and they believe they are absolutely right. And generally,
how about, you know, if somebody actually had enough patience to do an hour Bible study, that we could do proofs in the Bible. But it goes back and forth with these people because you got these infiltrators like Eli James and all that coming in and giving you some true history, and then, you know,
they gave you a little bit.
Interrupt you.
Sure, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'll bring it back. Everybody feel good, and they'll say, he's one of us, you know. It goes on and on, but when they end up lying, they don't catch it, because they never actually studied the Bible. The men talking about the Bible. You have to go in and study the Bible, and you have to take a few years to look up all the words. You need to look up generation. You need to look up stranger. You need to look up the terms of law. They're called precepts, commandments, statutes, judgments, ordinances, and covenant or contract law. The contract law is simple. I can do a thorough proof in 1 hour, and in one day I can do a full proof and show up 2,563 verses about Israel. Can't read them all in one day, but you can read about 300 or 400 in a day. And then nobody would ever doubt that this Bible's written to, for, and about Israel.
Okay.
I'm allowed to interracially marry, but we must follow the law, and they don't understand when they go back and they read the books of Moses. They're trying to take old ordinances of the new covenant, and go back under the veil, because they don't understand 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We cannot go back under the veil. That's crucifying the Son of God afresh. That's a no-no. But see, they keep doing it, because they don't understand ordinances, judgments. They never studied it. I've heard, you know, Comparé took some good things about the law, but he was a little bit, he didn't go deep enough. He didn't quite get to the heart of the truth. And when he got frustrated with what Paul was writing, he bashed Paul. He said Paul was an arrogant man. Paul was not humble. Paul could never have been raised to be an apostle unless he was 100% humble to God and broken. Read Matthew 21:43. These were all broken men. Their life changed. They were Christian. They were filled with Christ. They were raised by him to be apostles. Paul was just raised after the fact, as his mission was to the whole other nation, that other nation called the House of Israel. They were a
Okay, so I'm just saying that these things can all be proven. Anybody had the patience to listen to the actual studies and do them right.
Okay. Well, maybe I can go ahead and, you know, have Logan call in to your show, Tuesday nights, one of these nights here. But you would agree that, you know, based upon what we've heard, that Logan is a Christian identity brother.
Yeah.
You know, he's an Israelite. He definitely, you know, he definitely has points of disagreement with you, and I know he has points of disagreement with me, but in any case, you know, I'm really reluctant to say call him a heretic or anything like that, even though I disagree in some cases with him.
Oh, we're all learning and studying the Bible because the problem in identity is that, unfortunately, they made a mess of it. You know, every single country, whether it's British Israelism in England and Canada, in America, our biggest problem is historicism. And that study I wanted to do, because if you let me do it and just talk for about a half hour, 45 minutes, not talk, I mean read verses. There's no such thing as a man ordained pastor in the first place. That's Protestantism.
Okay, well,
And there's no laity in the Bible, period. There's none. No man's called to the church to be a member of the laity. You see, that's how...
Well, I've never preached to everybody, you know, Keith, I'm not going ahead and saying that, you know, anybody else, you know, somebody is subject, you know, to another in the church. In fact, I've had problems with anybody saying that because of what I've seen as a result of what I call pastoral abuse in Herbert Armstrong's church.
Yeah, well, there's always going to be pastoral abuse because Christ is the head of the church, not a man. And all these pastors get so puffed up, they start wearing robes.
That's true. That's true.
Next thing you turn around, they're taking money from somebody to teach Seventh-day Sabbath keeping when they don't even believe in it.
Hmm.
And then another one preaching against terrorism, and then he has a terrorist who calls himself a pastor and gives him the pulpit the next week. And we're all supposed to sit there while we hear a lie. We can't even raise our hand and say, hey, I don't agree with that.
That's true. That's true. And
it's with the ordinances of 1 Corinthians 14. Let two or three speak, and that by course. And if something is revealed to one that sitteth by, let the first keep silent. You are allowed to say, I disagree, and here's my criticism, and here's my scriptures, and this disproves what you just tried to prove. And that may hurt, but you know what? These people are filled with pride. I had a guy, he was a nice guy. He was good at dispensationalism, and he taught the milk over and over again, the race and the covenant and this and that, but he got so puffed up, he thought he was Moses. When we disagree with something he said, he called it a Korah rebellion. Well, he's not Moses.
Well, that's Herbert Armstrong who was bad about that.
That's how all of them are.
Huh.
I can find errors in all these guys who call themselves pastors, and if they understood the Bible so well, why are they calling themselves a pastor when it's not even a man ordained office in the first place? Only elders. That's the general title. Specifically, it's deacons and bishops.
Well, if you all call me an elder, Keith, that's fine with me here. Anyway.
I'm just saying, if you're going to have a flock together, there's no man who's supposed to think of himself as the head of that church. He's supposed to lead that flock to the true head, who is Christ, and do it by the word, and do it by proofs. Paul said, prove all things. It has to be proven. The speculation and all these comments are based on wild hair ideas they got from other people earlier in identity who really, you know, didn't prove what they said in the first place.
Well, this is, you know, I mean, Keith, this is not really a Christian identity show. This is pretty well reporting of whatever's going on in our wonderful bowel movement. It's more like a gossip show. It's sort of, in some cases, it approaches level of Jerry Springer-ist, but not with you, Keith. Here, you know what I mean?
You told me that. I understand. I'm just saying that, though. But the Word of God, though, is this is a holy book to me. I believe this is God's Word.
I've heard a number of people, and they want to go ahead and take out the works of Paul. And I don't, you know, I mean, you know, I'm not willing to go ahead and, you know, do that. I mean, it is probably a good deal of, you know, innate conservatism, you know, but the thing about it is that once you go ahead and you take out something here and you put something in, it seems to me that you're setting yourself up as the determinate, you know, as a determinator of what you are going to believe.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that seems to me somewhat arrogant. I've sort of ridiculed Mona, you know, Mona Montgomery a couple times by, you know, she goes ahead, she honestly admits that she goes ahead and reads the Bible and she picks and chooses what she likes, and the rest of it she's just going to go ahead and throw away like she's like a wandering negress in the produce section of the, you know, the local Safeway. And I've told her that she ought to go ahead and follow this one character called, you know, the Reverend Mongoloid Hardy and join the First Church of Solipsism. And that way she can go ahead and cut out the middleman. She can just go ahead and worship herself and have done with it. You know, but, Mona, I don't think she went ahead and grasped what I was saying. But it is I've gone ahead and grown up in the church. I haven't come in as a recent convert, and I guess it's sort of weird, but I guess I sound like a sort of moderate in that, you know, I don't want to go ahead and like Rodney Kink, the niggers say, can't we all get along? But generally what I do believe is that since Jesus Christ calls us, or Yeshua calls us, that essentially, it's Yeshua's choice to go ahead and call us, and we're going to come into it, and we're each going to go ahead and bring in different experiences and different, you know, and different beliefs, and we're not always going to agree 100% with each other. And as a result, I'm not going to go ahead and declare someone else a heretic because he believes something different than I do.
Well, let's just say we have a basis for understanding our identity, but let's go on and let the Bible prove, you know, because the speculation and taking verses out of context doesn't take us to the truth. It's every word. Paul is quoting nonstop from the Law and the Prophets and what he's teaching. And you can see that all his teaching is accurate if you understand it. I mean, let me put it this way. They've been teaching us to hate the Bible and be confused, and there's no Bible. Oh, we need 10 Bibles. We need 30 Bibles. We need 30 Bibles. You see, and then every Bible they take you to is one of these modern Muscat and Hort translations, which is heresy because they're from perverted manuscripts in the first place. They didn't like the one they had. They thought they were smarter than God. They wanted to bash Paul, and any time they say that Paul's not a true apostle, or Paul, you know, condoned interracial marriage, or Paul taught universalism, they don't understand Paul. He did not teach any of those things. They're reading verses incorrectly. Acts 17:26 is one of them. All nations of one blood. Galatians 3:28-29 is the other one. Oh, you know, they quote that over and over again, but if they went to Galatians 3:15, they'd see that no man disannuls or adds to the covenant. That's the same Paul writing it. Besides, all those books are after the book of Romans, where he already defined who the Gentiles are, the house of Israel. He defined it. Took us to the book of Hosea to do it. I mean, that's how you do proofs. You see what they say, and then you go back to the Law and the Prophets, you find it so you understand it, and then you have a proof. So you just sort of speculating about, because if you just read Paul, and if you read Romans and Corinthians and some of the writings that he does, it's hard to understand. You need the Law and the Prophets. You need to understand the history.
Well, you need the entire Bible. I come across people, you know, who go ahead and say, well, hey, the Old Testament was a Jew book. We need to go ahead and get rid of the Old Testament. We only need the New Testament. And, you know, to them I say, what are you talking about?
Christ said he wasn't going to change one jot or tittle.
Well, I try to tell these people that here. Anyway, generally these people who go ahead, like the No Devil, I was pretty well spying on Stormfront, and old Debbie Downey was complaining that she wasn't able to go ahead and ban people like she used to, and most of these people, in many cases, they end up becoming quite desperately unhappy with the choices that they've gone ahead and made. And they're rather mean, you know, they're sort of mean, you know, they're sort of mean people who essentially, once they're no longer on top, they get pretty, oh, I guess they sometimes act like they don't have any, you know, reason to live other than to go ahead and oppress, you know, other people. And I've seen quite a bit of that in this movement here. So anyway, is there anything else here, or have we pretty well cut, you know? I mean, I do think that Logan, you know, was quite sincere. I do believe he's an Israelite. I didn't agree with everything he said, you know. And
Zealous, he's right. I mean, I talk to him. We can talk. I just say that I think there's a few things about Paul that he needs to understand.
Okay. Well, hey. If you want, you can go ahead and send them an email to LoganHunter88 and invite them to your show then Tuesday then.
All right, I'll do that.
Okay. LoganHunter88@Yahoo.com.
Yahoo, okay.
Yahoo.com. I use Gmail. What I've done is that today I went ahead and renewed my domain name for PastorLinstead.org. And I went ahead and bought hosting for it, and I went ahead and increased my hosting for Manzers.org, although it's just pretty well just a data dump for my audio files. So essentially, I went ahead and just worked on my own stuff here pretty much today here. So there's not really anything much going on in the bowel movement, but it was an interesting night tonight here. What with Logan and what with you? Okay?
Well, yeah, sounds pretty good. Go back to Jerry Springer then.
Well, I mean, you know, a few times we've had Jerry Springer moments, and, you know, it was number 42 when I had a big fight with Eli James, and number 46 when Brian Reel went ahead and called in, and he goaded Pastor John Britton into saying he was going to shoot the little Mamzer if he showed up in Emmett, Idaho. And, you know, pretty well, you know, the little Mamzer went ahead and, you know, called the FBI. You know, him and Eli James called the FBI, the BATF, the Secret Service on me, and he called the Lake County, Ohio Sheriff's Department on me, too, here. So, essentially, some of these shows have gotten sort of interesting here, but, it'd be sort of hilarious, if these characters would go ahead and, well, last year Jeremy Visser went ahead and called on, but he was, you know, he was under the gun. He'd gone ahead and, you know, admitted he was a Mamzer in order to get out of the stalking charge. And, you know, last December he was just oh so nice and oh so kind here. And old Pastor John Britt was nice to him. I said, I thought you were going to beat his ass here. And I said, well, I'm going to beat his ass, but I'm hoping that he's going to go ahead and tell me, you know, where Brian Wright is so I can beat Brian Wright's ass first. Okay. You know, but anyway.
All right, I'll let you go for now.
All right, well, I'll see you Tuesday then, and I'll probably be trolling Eli or James and Finkelschini's tomorrow and Eli's on Saturday and Sunday. So okay, well, have a good one, Keith. El Victory, and may Yahweh bless you.
God bless. Bye now.
Okay. So
anyway,
well, I got two bars left on that. Anyway, let's see. How much time do we have? Okay, well, 38 minutes. I think I'm going to go ahead and just call it night and say, Hail Victory. May Yahweh bless. Good night. White men clad in black are we, hi-yi-oh-ho, and we'll stamp out God's tyranny, hi-yi-oh-ho. Why they don't revolt home on the city roof, let the red cock crow. Why they go civil war home on the courthouse walls, let red blood flow. When Adam delved and Eve defend, Kyrieleite, all who was then the ruling man, Kyrieleite. Why they go revolt home on the city roof, let the red cock crow. Why they go civil war home on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. Four white men, their rifles shoot, the Jews are laid low. On sogling necks we stomp our boots to stamp out gospel. White men go revolt home on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go civil war home on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. The regime must only love its greed, hi-yi-yo-ho. The love of God our only need, hi-yi-yo-ho. White men go revolt ho on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go civil war ho on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. We'll conquer for our cause is right, hi-yi-yo-ho. Our sons won't have to go and fight, hi-yi-yo-ho. White men go revolt ho on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go civil war ho on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow.